Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, January 18th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Just so you guys know, I'm doing my best to try to alleviate that gap in the beginning of the show, which is just basically out of default because of the different situation after having no longer being able to premiere the show on YouTube. But I'm doing my best to get rid of that. I did pretty well today, but we're going to try to get that as little as possible. A lot to talk about, as always. We're going to get into two major things today, primarily as well as a lot of stuff around the sides, but this will be two major things. One's a study in regard to lockdowns that is a peer-reviewed study out of California that is calling out the entire thing, that their study that has been peer-reviewed is finding that it's not actually what we're being told. We have one of the top epidemiologists in California now speaking out about the side effects with these vaccines, saying that this is alarming. There's too many. We should pause the whole thing, but that's not what's happening. We're also going to talk about the Capitol to begin today and how we see this leading in to the bigger discussion. COVID-19 and everything else, the Domestic Terror Act, it's all leading into more control, more lockdown, if you will. But as always, no shortage to talk about today. But we're going to start off with a couple of quick things that I wanted to show you guys, just so you guys know this is happening. And so we should be aware right now, I guess, 2 days left until Biden gets technically in his position? We should be asking for Donald Trump to pardon Assange. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't believe that's something he would ever do, because that would cement him as a dissident in the mind of the establishment that he's no longer controlling, or if he really ever was. But remember, that's something that we should all be speaking about and asking about and calling for. I just don't think it's going to happen. But on that note, speaking with somebody that I've talked in the past about in regard to Assange and the whole story, somebody that I'll be speaking with more in the near future, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a new platform that's happening right now that I only just found out about, and there's a reason I wanted to talk about it more than just showing you the platform. This is a video featuring Taylor Hudak, who we've spoken to in the past, introducing Panquake, revealing Project X, which I believe I'm going to find out more when I speak to them, that is the name around the project, but Panquake is the name of the actual platform. Now, they had an event where they were releasing this information to everybody, #TalkLiberation, and guess what? You'd be totally shocked to find out that they were basically internet-wide censored on multiple platforms, and YouTube just wouldn't let them talk about what was going on. Gee, I wonder why that would be. I wonder why YouTube is feeling threatened by new platforms. Maybe because we're all aware of what they are today. But this is a great platform that I'm just learning more about, that is user-funded, that is blockchain-based. This is a really interesting social media platform that I believe is about messaging only. I'll find out more as we get into it, but nonetheless, I recommend that you look into it. Watch the video, understand that there are new things happening that are not in regard to YouTube, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, here is a Susie Dawson is involved with this as well, and she is, I believe, the one that basically designed this or made it. Now, this is only just gleaning information of what I've seen so far, but here's another video where they talk about this and they get into what it is, and she discusses how she's making it and so on. Really interesting to see that this is happening. But also remember, by the way, that I'm working on another platform, streaming platform, mind you, that I hope will make some of these other Google-type platforms obsolete. And hopefully this kind of a platform will work in tandem with what we're trying to accomplish. I believe it will. Interesting stuff for you to check out. Now, on top of that, I want to remind everybody of the Greater Reset that Derek Brose is leading the charge on. And this is a really important thing that I want you all to take part in. Here's the Telegram channel you can check out. All these speakers, they're listed, and everything. There's a lot of good people here. A lot of good people that you probably recognize that are going to be speaking about a lot of important things as a counterbalance to what the Greater Reset will be telling you is what we should be doing. Very important to follow this and understand the Greater Reset activation, January 25th, January 29th. Make sure you check it out. Now, I also want to point out, since today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I want to make a point about how important it is that we recognize that our whole entire perception of everything is controlled by the media and the government across the board. As Lou Krodowski points out, if you are going to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, we should also acknowledge that the U.S. government was found guilty conspiring to kill Martin Luther King in a court of law. They also spied on him, spread fake news about him while trying to undermine him every step of the way. That's true. And as I said, if this shows us anything, It's that the mainstream media can, with the help of the government, or rather just as the government, keep even verified truth from the majority view. If you did not know that the U.S. government was found guilty of conspiring to kill Martin Luther King Jr., and that's very clearly the case, by the way, ask yourself how that's possible that you don't know that. That's crazy. I argue right now that half the people watching this are thinking that can't be true. That's not real. It is real. And it was a civil case, mind you, but nonetheless, it was found that they were guilty in conspiring to kill him in a court of law that was completely covered up and just, you know, they didn't want you to see it is the point. Now, I linked to a great video from James Corbett with Mr. Pepper. They go over the whole story. It's just it's a lesson to understand, to start the show off today, how easy it is for governments to completely control what you see. Now, think about that in context of COVID-19. Think about that in the context of everything we're talking about. If they're able to keep from your view the fact that one of the most prominent leaders in the history of this country was, that our government was involved in a conspiracy to kill him, and you didn't know that, and it was found in a court of law, what else don't you know about your past and about what's going on right now? Very interesting to think about. Now, starting off the show today, I want to go over the Capitol again and how it is leading into where we are with everything. COVID-19, I've argued this for a while now, that these things are one and the same. Not that necessarily that they are literally the same thing, but this is a larger agenda, and these are different moving parts of something they're trying to achieve. Now, as always, that doesn't necessarily mean these things were created from whole cloth. I'm pretty sure you know my opinions on that. But at the end of the day, whether or not that's the case, they are being used to achieve their goals, as always. So to start off, a good question to ask. 25,000 troops, emergency notification systems, a fence, and much more in D.C. for a virtual inauguration? That is odd. I've seen this pointed out a few times over the days. And when I first saw that, I said, yeah, at first I thought, well, the easy counter argument as well, because they think Trump's people are crazy and they're going to go after that's the idea. That's what they'll argue. We need these people because they're telling us they're going to come after. That's not really what's happening, though. They're telling us that that's what they think they're going to do. There's not even actually much evidence to suggest they're actually planning to go do anything violent. And by the way, that wasn't even the case beforehand. They argue that because they said, let's stay strong, wink, wink, we're all going to murder people, right? That's the mainstream journalism we're finding today, that they somehow know secretly what these people, wink, wink, think about exactly the opposite of what they're saying. Now, certainly they could be the case, but that's not what journalists are supposed to do, blindly assume based on their own beliefs. That's all the mainstream is today. But recognize how weird it is that we have, you know, tens of thousands of troops laying around on the ground with nobody present, when this is not even actually happening there, in regard to, you know, there's not going to be people, there's not going to be press, it's going to be a virtual inauguration. So it's almost as if they want to create the look, the feel of something dangerous. Or, you know, if you want to think of it this way, maybe they're just being that precautious or that careful, but then ask yourself why they didn't do that in every other thing that mattered to you, right? Where we're dealing with COVID-19 or what they did before this with the first on January 6th, after telling us it was going to be that crazy and then had the like unprecedentedly low number of people there, right? Now it matters. Why? Because it's a different part of the agenda. But nonetheless, whatever you think about it, you have to acknowledge that's a little bit odd. Now, we are seeing a lot of talk flying around about, you know, basically that Biden is concerned that anybody anywhere, including military, are going to be secretly Trump loyalists. And there's, again, I don't see anything to back this up other than the broad narrative that Trump has support in the military, which means they might be in the military supporting him. That's not evidence. That is your opinion based on what you believe these people are. There's nothing there. That doesn't mean it's not possible or not true. But nonetheless, this is what the entirety of our elitist society is doing today. The media, the government, they are running with wildly incomplete narratives just because danger, because Trump bad guy, and we all know that. They run with these things as if they're already taken for face value. Obviously, Trump supporters don't think that. And I would argue, obviously, a lot of, which is probably the real majority of the people that don't associate with the two-party illusionists, clearly see the plan. We clearly see this because we see beyond the two-party illusion. So that arguably is the majority of this country. Nonetheless, they want you to think what they want you to think. And that's what this is all really about. There's discussions of people, ammunition being removed. And I'm seeing all these weird claims being made at the end of the day. I haven't really fleshed out whether that is something that happens regularly or not. But at the end of the day, here's the point. It's clear that he is feeling this way, that Biden is worried, or at least that's the narrative they want you to think, that there's people inside. I believe this is stacking the pieces to build towards an illusion of just constant undermining, as if Trump is still trying to do all this stuff. And that would then lead to justifying everything Biden wants to do. I mean, realize right now that they're doing all kinds of stuff that they blamed Trump. You know, I mean, I'll get to it in a moment, the executive orders. Like, you know, we're talking about how Trump's ruling by dictate. Now, the same thing they said about Obama, and then Trump did it. Now they say it about him, and now they're doing it. But they always point to the other person as the justification, and it never stops. So is that they don't like it, but then they have to, or that's just the narrative? Right? They're going to rule by executive order like every other president before, because we don't live in a democracy. But they want to pretend that the only reason he has to do that is because Trump, dangerous. And everybody on his side goes, yeah, that makes sense. The same way Trump supporters thought it was okay when he did it. Because people who lost in the two-party illusion cannot see past their own beliefs. But here's the people's house, right? In the age of Biden, as we go forward, here's the freedom that we're all marching into that they want to justify by just saying Trump, right? That's it. This aggressive step in the direction of authoritarian government, which we already have, by the way, but this is visually there, is just because, well, Trump and Trump people. That's it. But it's happening nonetheless. Now, how much you want to bet that stays? I don't know for sure, but these things tend to have a lasting effect as they use excuses to drive forward. But how, as Patrick Henningsen points out, the biggest gaslighting exercise ever. Washington preparing for, this is a quote, Washington preparing for unrest and planners urge people not to attend during a pandemic, but virtual events are intended to keep up the spirit of celebration. Technocrats terrified of a breach in their narrative. That's what it's about. And I agree with them entirely. They're afraid people are not, they need you to believe this is happening the way that they want you to believe it. Now, as people keep pointing out, in a virtual inauguration, how do we know what we're seeing is real? How do we know what they're telling us is happening is real? It's going to be something that is easily one of the easiest situations to manipulate. And that's why they're setting the narrative now, just like they did before the 6th, just like they did before COVID-19 with Event 201. They tell you the way they're going to do it as if they're predicting it because we're just experts at preparing, blah, 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 blah. And then it happens. And that way you're subtly prepared for it. It's called social engineering. It's called predictive programming. The Babylon Bee reports most popular president in history to be inaugurated in secret behind giant wall guarded by thousands of soldiers. Obviously, the satire site. Hopefully you know that by now. Except the fact that it seems more accurate than half the mainstream media today, usually because they're satirical clown shoe ridiculous cartoons. And that's why these people tend to be more right, because their job is to make it look cartoonish, and they can't even get further away before Biden and Trump and everybody else does exactly what they thought would never happen. It's funny how you look 6 months back and what they are reporting, it's like, damn, that's actually happening now. But think about that. The argument is, you know, jokingly the most popular president in history, because that's what they're trying to frame it as, is basically in danger from his very people. How does that actually make sense? And that's their exact point. It's all narrative. At the very least, there's half this country, if not more, that aggressively dislikes this person. But they'll tell you, hey, the most popular in history. But I wanted to point this out first, which this is the kind of soft censorship that even Twitter and everybody else is doing. Oh, look, the tweet's gone. Except it's not actually gone, though. Oh, there it is. That's weird. Oh, let's go back. Oh, now it's there again. Oh, weird. I thought it was actually censored. But if you even refresh it, it's gone. Oh, weird. The tweet's unavailable. I wonder why. They hope that you don't click it, that you look at that and go, oh, it must be deleted. How pathetic is that? If they think it's dangerous, if it's violating rules, I shouldn't say think it's dangerous. If it's violating one of their rules, well, then on their argument, they could be able to delete it. So then why would they have to dishonestly and secretly in a weird way trick you into thinking it's gone? Because they're off the rails. They are censoring based on things that are not written down in their rules. So they're just trying to deceive you. But the video, as I'll show you, is very revealing. It's something that will probably make you laugh out loud, and it should, because this is your dangerous this is your dangerous insurrection, at least part of it.
Hey. Yeah, you can't be chilling.
I don't know how I do that so often. I apologize. Here we go.
Hey. Fucking hey, man. Glad to see you guys. You guys are fucking patriots. Look at this guy. He's got covered in blood. God bless you.
You good, sir? Do you need medical attention?
I'm good, thank you.
All right.
I got shot in the face.
Where are they?
I got shot in the face with some kind of plastic bullet.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know, this is like the sacredest place.
So, first of all, they walk in with the cop with them. Now, people want to argue, well, because they were standing down, because they were so overwhelmed. Clearly, this is one guy with two people. Now, let's not pretend that this is overwhelmed. Now, you could argue elsewhere, but he's still told to stand down because of the larger situation. Fine. At the end of the day, you cannot argue, especially with the majority of locations that where they were allowed in, including the very first fence they passed, meaning the cops let them in with no pressure and literally opened it and let them in. Then there was a fence where there was a little bit of hostility, and we know that that one room where the girl got shot, so we're told, or so the act played out. But here in most of the places, we can see that that wasn't the case. And in fact, the guy sitting on the ground, listen again to what he says. Does this sound like what an insurrectionist would do trying to overthrow the government? I mean, listen to what he says.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
I've been making sure they haven't been disrespecting the place, especially as the cop who's in fear for his life, according to Congress, is saying, you know, do you guys mind leaving this place? It's real sacred. Right. Dangerous. I mean, look, this is never, and this is the kind of thing that mainstream media will do, pretend like by saying this, that I'm somehow, undermining the negative things that happened. Did I say that? This is mainstream journalism today. They will lean into what they tell you you're thinking. Which is really stupid when you think about it. But the point is, this is not to argue that the person that got shot or the violence that happened is somehow less than or not important. It's simply addressing what's in front of us. And if you're unable to address the literal facts and evidence in front of you, what we're staring at, in contrast to some of the parts that were violent, then you're not being honest. This is the idea is that I'll get into a point in a minute about people that even set this whole thing up. Right? We're going to set up a protest. If you set up a protest somewhere and a group of those people break off and burn down a building, is that your fault for setting up the protest? Nobody would think that. But that's what's happening today. Because suddenly anybody even remotely involved with even conservatives, even remotely tied to this thing, are somehow all terrorists because that serves the agenda. It's about domestic terrorism and it's about creating a situation where they can drive that narrative. Where they can use, it's the Patriot Act inverted, which by the way, the Patriot Act was really about us. But now this is on its face saying, you guys are dangerous, or rather, some of you are dangerous. So let us pick them out for you. I can't even fathom that Americans cannot understand or learn from their own history. We have something as damaging as this kind of scar on our history as McCarthyism, the Red Scare. And here we are again. I mean, literally talking about communism in the same way, not even to say that every government can be dangerous, which is always point out. Point in fact, look at where we are now. Look at our democracy working real well for us. The point is that any government can lead in this direction and centralize power at the top. It's about how the people engage. There's plenty of places that have a lot more socialist directions in the world that are, I would argue, much better than what we're dealing with now. But that's not to say that I support any of them. I don't support governments. I know that's hard for people to wrap their minds around. People will say, just because I even said what I just said, even though I followed up with the clear information, that I support communism. It's just, it's dumb. It's really oversimplified. But that's how so many people are today. Government can lead to problems if people do not engage. You know, they're not an informed populace. That's what it's really about. So the idea is that we have this history where they did and completely, they used the idea of communism to basically unjustly remove people from power and arrest people and control people. And we can look back on that and go, yeah, that was wildly dishonest, very dangerous, and every other thing we could talk about all the dictators everywhere else in the world. But here we are doing it all over again because we can't remember how this works, or a lot of people can't. It's frustrating. But on the same note of what we're talking about here, they're doing the same thing over again in regard to domestic terrorism. We are now the problem. They're saying that you guys are the problem. Your neighbors need to tell on your neighbors. If they say anything that you don't agree with, make sure you tell the police. That is what's happening all over again. I don't understand why people can't recognize that. I know that you guys here do. That's why I need your help to keep this information going so people can learn how this has happened before and it's happening all over again. That's not to suggest that there are not things that we should be concerned about. But the idea that our government can have such power over our lives because of something that's undefined, or even obviously something that's being overblown, should alarm us. But people on one side of the political spectrum who are still lost in the two-party illusion believe this benefits what they're trying to accomplish, so they don't care. And they're just as guilty as the government murdering people overseas. Now, here's an interesting part to counterbalance to this discussion, as Luke points out. So let me get this straight. In 1984, interesting date, a communist terrorist group bombed the U.S. Capitol. They were pardoned by Clinton and Cuomo, and some of them are now working, organizing for the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, the only reason I think that's interesting is the idea that we're talking about people that, according to Politico, are currently organizing for a group that gets, the exact opposite happens, where people will go out, some of them genuinely protesting, and some people break off and cause violence. You can, how many of them, 70%, 10%, you can have that discussion for yourself. Some of them break off and cause violence. Then all of them are deemed still peaceful protesters by the mass media, which is alarmingly dishonest. And on the flip side, you have the opposite happening with Trump supporters. All of them are, and it goes back and forth with which group is talking about them. But so here we are staring at people that, in fact, in regard to the U.S. Capitol, bombed it. And then not only were they pardoned, but they're currently working with groups that are being given basically carte blanche. So how does that even make sense in regard to the idea of what we're calling a terrorist act today that was so jokingly less than what we're staring at right here? Isn't that interesting? In any sense, I think this is all leading towards some kind of a narrative that can be controlled. Right? I mean, even this idea, right, that we just talked, this is what's funny, is that what I'm just talking about is the idea that the governments of any type of control network can end up just as oppressive as any of them. They're all ultimately leading the same direction if allowed complete control to the government, which we're doing now. So that should be unbelievably obvious. Yet the next point, it says something about a communist terrorist and everyone, oh, see, communist bad. Don't be a victim of their social engineering. Be smarter than that. Any group, anywhere, can make a bomb and blow things up. To suddenly make it one thing or the other is a choice. Make it about the crime, not the ideology. There's ideologies all across the world that are good and bad and can be used in any direction. And the point is the act. If somebody has an ideology that leads to violence, charge them for the crime. You cannot, the point that we're beginning to demonize and actually, I mean, we always have been, but it's come home to roost. We're pointing at ourselves now, that you believe something is now suddenly a problem, and a country that we pretend has freedom to believe what you want. How contradictory is that? But that's never really been the case. Now, on the left, the original story, and on the right, the story. And here's what I'm talking about. The way that the media will get you all worked up about something, they're reporting it based on somebody, basically a game of telephone. Somebody told them, they heard it, they got a source they like, so they report it. And they always, they use the cover of the fog of breaking news. We report just what we're hearing, but that's not good journalism. You shouldn't report something even on Twitter unless you know it's true. And if you don't know, then you say, I mean, even then, I argue you shouldn't be like, something says, and I think, if you're reporting it as an outlet or somebody working for a main outlet, I don't even do that. If I hear something and I look into it first before I report it, even on Twitter. But here's what the mainstream does today. Capitol Police arrested a Virginia man as he attempted to pass through a police checkpoint in downtown Washington Friday with fake inaugural credentials, a loaded handgun, and over 500 rounds of ammunition. CNN. Everybody passed this around. Everybody was freaking out. Here we go. It's all beginning. Now, that sounds really alarming, right? Except when you find out that he was actually a security guard who had what they asked him to bring and his own ammunition for security for the Capitol. Think about how stupid that is. He was not accused of presenting phony or fabricated credentials. He presented some, and a police officer determined he wasn't authorized to be in the area per the court hearing that day. Now, that is a very commonplace thing where somebody just had a little misunderstanding of where located, but then it became a person with a gun with ammunition in the Capitol grounds and we're all in danger. No due diligence, no research, scaremongering. Here's more. Here's Wolf Blitzer. There's a very disturbing breaking news here in Washington. Now, did he look into it? Did Wolf Blitzer look into it more? Or did Jim look into it more? Or did they just repeat what they heard? Now, isn't that exactly what they tell us that we're doing? Isn't that funny? U.S. Capitol Police arrested a Virginia man with fake credentials. Again, same thing, same lie, same misinformation. Same one I just showed you. Here's another one. Breaking! Now it's NBC and CNN reporting what they all heard from somebody. Now it's a handgun and a rifle. And it's, you know, it just keeps getting more ridiculous. But as you can see, that man who drove into D.C. with a Glock and 500 rounds of ammo, his wife tells me he was a private security guard and hired to help security the Capitol grounds. He's charged with carrying all the firepower in D.C. You know, it goes on and on. That's the case, by the way. So we understand it. Here's the update from Jim himself. According to the court filing, CNN now reporting the man presented an unauthorized credential. Uh-oh. So that's what happens when you do your due diligence before reporting for the area he was seeking to access, not a fake credential. Quite a big difference, wouldn't you say? Suspect was arrested for possession of an unregistered firearm and ammunition, among other offenses. But it says, I had the other one underneath it. Oh, gosh darn it. I don't want to waste time finding it. And it continues the point. But the reality here is it started out as a huge situation where somebody was trying to break through with faking credentials, but it turns out he was actually there with credentials, but had the wrong credentials. And it's basically an overblown story that had nothing to do with what they're telling you. That's what media does. Here's another example. Armored Humvee stolen from military base ahead of the planned armed protest. Now, that sounds alarming, doesn't it? Uh-oh. And so you would assume based on the, and this is not, this is, I mean, this is Zero Hedge reporting it, but this is coming from the Los Angeles FBI, but you would assume that somehow has a connection to the Capitol, right? Or Trump support or something. It must. Why would they say this if it didn't have some kind of connection? Well, guess what? It doesn't. You might as well report about the guy who just stole a truck down the street. Why does that connect to Capitol? Oh, because it's a military vehicle? So because it's a military vehicle and because it has weapons, anywhere in the country something gets stolen, we're going to associate that. Understand, this is Los Angeles on the other side of the country, but we're going to report this ahead of the planned protest as if it's connected somehow because it's a military vehicle? This is what passes for journalism today. Here's the FBI. Los Angeles, a green camouflage Humvee was stolen from California on Friday. Identifiers include this and that. Okay, that's it. It was stolen. And because it's stolen ahead of what they tell you might happen, even Zero Hedge is saying, well, this is connected somehow because it's the narrative. It's what's popular. And that bothers me. This has nothing to do with it. It might, but you could guess about anything. Right? I think my neighbor just bought a gun yesterday. Maybe he's going to go to the Capitol. Uh-oh, you better get him. Right? It's really stupid. And by the way, that's not true. I'm just making up an analogy. But the point is, it's really ridiculous that we can try to connect these random things just because we want to fearmonger, and that's what's happening. Now, here is what happened this morning. Just in, smoke rising behind the U.S. Capitol building. Emergency announcement playing at the Capitol. People who are on the grounds for the inauguration rehearsal have left. And here's what the breaking news was. The U.S. Capitol is under lockdown due to an exterior security threat. Now, you could argue that that was what they might call anything they didn't understand or what they didn't know what was happening yet. But I'm not sure about that. That's an unknown circumstance. Saying an exterior security threat seems to suggest that they're aware that there's a threat, not just a situation that they haven't defined yet. So it means they probably have more that they're not telling us, or that just because they're told something may happen, that they're treating it all like that, which leads to fear and paranoia. But the U.S. Capitol complex was locked down today during the inauguration rehearsal after a fire in a homeless encampment about a mile away sent a plume of smoke into the air. Law enforcement officials say the fire was not believed to be a threat. Oh, well, so they reported it as an external threat before they found out whether or not it was a threat? Pretty much. Or something else happened and they're covering it up. Who ultimately knows these days? But the truth is, it was not what we're... It didn't pan out to be what they told us it was. All it did amount to is fear and continuing the hype about what may happen. So it justifies tangentially what Biden will do generally. Right? Because Trump, because danger, because people, because domestic terrorism, just broadly. So we're going to do all these things right out of the gate that are pretty extreme, but because we've hyped up the fear around non-events, it'll all make sense for you. But also, don't forget that they're every direction now seeming to drive the idea that there are foreign governments somehow involved with what happened, even though it was basically not much at all. FBI probing of foreign governments. Now, remember how many times we have talked about this from the moment this started, about this being the end goal. Surprise, surprise. Yet again, it looks like we got it right. Probing if foreign governments, groups funded extremists who helped execute the Capitol. Now, this article is, this is a really shameful piece of non-journalism. You'll see what I mean. The way, and this is what I see a lot lately, is they start out with their hypothetical, their assumption. They start out with what they want you to think might be happening, and then way at the bottom of the article, they come around to basically admitting that we have no idea whether this is happening or not, and it's all just basically hype, and we don't know for sure. As part of the investigation, the FBI is examining payments of $500,000 in Bitcoin to key figures and groups in the alt-right before January 6th riot. So, right off the bat, you're thinking, okay, this means that they're saying payments that are going to people on the right that are coming from foreign governments. That's what they title, and that would make people think that didn't read any further, which is not what happened, not even close. The FBI is investigating whether foreign governments, organizations, or individuals provided financial support to extremists. Uh-oh, now they're extremists. I mean, understand, even the people that they want to claim committed violence, how in the world are they all of a sudden extremists? Well, because anyone there is now a domestic terrorist. Think about that. They're extremists. I mean, you could argue that they're violent or that somebody who broke the window or whatever you want to talk about. But how does that jump to extremist? Well, because they claim that everybody there was QAnon or everybody there had this white supremacist far right idea. That's really stupid. And if anybody made that broad claim in the middle of an actual debate, would get laughed at. You are making broad grasping assumptions because it fits your narrative. And this is all of them today. I just don't understand why even their own people can't see it, because they want the narrative to go forward. It's a game now. It's like, yeah, get them. I know that's not real, but yeah, we're winning. Support the extremists who helped plan and execute the January 6th attack. The attack where they were let in and politely asked to leave the room. One current and one former FBI official told them. So we have one person who's a former, who probably means he works for one of these outlets and, you know, just leave his name out of it. And then you've got one current. An FBI official who is part of one of the most corrupt organizations in this country, who has regularly faked and been a part of the very things they pretend they're stopping. Think about that. That's not my opinion, by the way. New York Times reported that as well. And part of the investigation, the Bureau is examining payments of $500,000 in Bitcoin, apparently by a French national. Oh, is that what they mean by foreign governments? Oh, I guess they should have. They want you to think Russia and Iran, but even though they do continue to argue in this article that that's what they're leaning into, a French national. Okay, keep that in mind. To key figures and groups in the alt-right before the riot, sources said. Now, right now, understand that we're not even making the connection between people who were present necessarily and people who are just simply in the right. Now, understand, I have been called alt-right. People like Jordan Peterson are called alt-right. That is painfully stupid. First of all, I don't associate with any of this nonsense, and I have beliefs that people would argue are on the left. More or less libertarian, anarchistic, but generally, I have a lot of beliefs that go all over the map. But the point is, they call people alt-right because it suits their agenda, and sometimes it's just ignorant, and the facts don't back it up. So what they're saying is, they sent money to people that they deem alt-right, and then because those are just people on the right, and because we know that everybody on the right was all in league to make this happen, again, this is kind of, that's what they're generally saying behind the lines here. Payments of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency can be traced because they are I love this part. So it's saying, those payments and documented and posted on the web this week by a company that analyzes cryptocurrency transfers. Payments of Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency, can be traced because they are documented on a public ledger. Oh, yeah, isn't that funny? Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly why your government and my government and everyone's governments don't want to use it this way and use blockchain ledgers, because we'd be able to find out what they were doing. But of course, they want to make you think that cryptocurrency is really that's money laundering and trafficking and dangerous stuff. That's the dollar they're talking about. This is completely transparent. But what they want you to think is the cryptocurrency is the seedy back alley dealings. No, clearly, it's obvious and open. Now, are we going to pretend that these people with doing some kind of secret plan are using what they know is open and everyone can look at? If these people wanted to commit a secret plan, they would have used the US dollar because they wouldn't have been traced then. But here, they're using something everyone can see, and that's supposed to be an obvious point as why they're criminals? See, their narratives don't make sense. The narrative only makes sense when you just run with the assumption that cryptocurrency dangerous, US dollar safe. And then everything makes sense and you can go run and play, you know, whatever. I don't know if it's going to make some dumb analogy, but the point is that it's just stupid how obviously we can see one is open and the other is actively used by criminals and governments and banks alike to steal and rob and cheat all day long. Separately, a joint threat assessment issued this week by the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and various other federal and D.C. area police agencies noted that since the January 6th riot, Russian, Iranian, and Chinese influence actors have seized the opportunity to amplify narratives in furtherance of their policy interests amid the presidential transition. Really? This is what they're saying. So understand that they're talking about French nationals who are giving money to people on the right, and that somehow translates to Russia, Iran might be using, influencing this. I mean, this is crazy, crazy off. But the point, what they're saying is that these governments, not that they had anything to do with the money, that's what they want you to think by reading the headline though, but no, these are just governments that are using what happened, seizing the opportunity, they say, to amplify narratives that further their own policy. So they're doing what's in their best interest? What bad people. Everybody everywhere does this, including the US government. Anytime Russia, China, or Iran do anything that they can point to and say, blah, 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 they're terrible, or look at, we're better than that, or look at the, or here's anything we can try to use to make a point, they will do it every single time. But here's Russia and China and Iran pointing to this obvious, ridiculous situation and going, not only is that pathetic because the US government screams about democracy, and then here's an example of why they're not. That's a valid point no matter who's pointing it out. But because they say it, well, they're involved now because they're using this to benefit themselves. This is all they have. This is all they have. And that needs to show you everything. Because let's be clear, if they had anything that suggested they were involved, it would be everywhere. But all they can do is go, well, they talked about it, so they're guilty. Thank you, FBI, Homeland Security, and other federal DC police. Great job. Russian state and proxy media outlets, quote, have amplified themes. Themes, so not even the actual stuff, but themes related to the violent and chaotic nature of the Capitol Hill incident. What? That's pathetic. Impeachment of Trump and social media. Oh, so wait, so they got involved in politics of the country that is leading everyone's direction in regard to politics? Weird. Obviously, the US government has an influence that's unjust in what they are in the world today, the US government. But the dollar, I mean, economically in general, I mean, we know that most of the world is beholden to the US government, whether they're using the dollar or any other kind of thing the US uses against people. So when the US government has a big thing that happens, the world talks about it. But, oh my God, look, Russia's doing it too, so they must be guilty. Quote, in at least one instance, a Russian proxy claimed, so not even Russia, but what they say is a Russian proxy. And, you know, they say things are proxies that have no evidence for it. So let's go ahead and assume that it's probably could be a proxy or not at all. Claimed that Antifa members disguised themselves as supporters of Trump and were responsible for storming the Capitol. Except that's literally what exactly happened, at least in that one case that I proved to you. And so did other people. The guy is literally on film saying he's going to go buy a Trump hat. And look, we did it. We tricked them. We got it. I didn't think they would believe us. We got to be quiet. And so if I can look at that and share it, and they're somehow none able to, these are either the worst journalists on the planet, or they know it's there, and they're lying to you. I mean, that's always how we look at this, guys. They are either bad at their job, or willfully deceiving you. Either way, why are you looking at NBC, or ABC, or CNN, or Fox News? They're claiming a Russian proxy floated the idea that Antifa was working there, and we can prove it. It's very clear. He was there, he did it, he drove this, and to some degree, he did egg them on. That's a fact. Did he cause the whole thing? Well, that's a totally different conversation. But this is where we are with the mainstream media. Chinese media, meanwhile, have seized the story to denigrate the U.S. democratic governance. Well, yeah, because they deserve to be denigrated, the U.S. government, because they're bad. But so is the Chinese government. So by pointing out that what the Chinese government says about the U.S. government is correct does not mean we're supporting the Chinese government. That, again, is a childish, false equivalency that people use when they don't have an argument. capacity in the United States is broadly in decline. Well, welcome to the United States. I am an aggressive supporter of the American people. I believe in these people and this country wholeheartedly. The government is not the country. When you're talking about the United States government in decline and this country as a result of that, that is obviously a fact. Look at where we are, for crying out loud, and we're going to pretend like they're lying to denigrate that. Pathetic. The examination of possible foreign influence related to the Capitol riot, which involves the FBI's counterintelligence division, comes after years of what the current and former FBI officials say is mounting evidence that Russia and other foreign adversaries have sought secretly support political extremists on the right. Okay, so basically they're saying, because the FBI has been screaming about Russiagate for years, this makes sense. Oh, you mean that Russiagate thing that's been wildly debunked and shown to be basically nothing whatsoever? But yeah, let's keep leaning on that because that makes sense. And the idea that any government would be funding any other grouping of people in any country is certainly possible. But you need evidence to make those claims. But they don't in the mainstream media. All they get to do is float it because they know it's popular. Law enforcement officials and terrorism experts say there's long been a mutual affection between Western white supremacists and the Russian government. As two scholars point out in one paper, totally. I'd love to see anything that actually proved, one, that the Russian government had any such ties to what they claim are white supremacists, and then prove to us what the white supremacist groups are. You don't just get to call conservatives or any group that you don't like a white supremacist, because that's childish. But that's what they're doing. Are there white supremacists? I'm sure there are. But the idea that there's these massive groups overtaking all of the MAGA group, it is dumb and obviously not based in the facts. But the Russian government's working with them. And this is what the tie-in is. They want you to think white supremacist equals MAGA, Trump, Q, and that's tied in and equal to Iran and Russia somehow. So at one point when they choose to pull the trigger on one of these narratives, they'll just lump it in together and they'll say this is all one big thing and domestic terrorism and we have to fight back. Some senators were concerned enough about the issue that they inserted a requirement in the 2021 defense bill that you probably didn't know about, that the Pentagon, quote, report to Congress on the extent of Russian support for radically and ethnically motivated violent extremist groups and networks in Europe and the United States and what can be done to counter it. So they included in the defense bill, a bill that's meant to defend this country, efforts to look at you. Efforts to make sure that you are not doing what they don't like. And if that amounts to some kind of tangential discussion of whether Russia might be supporting you, well, you're suddenly a domestic terrorist. That is your government aiming their defense bill at you. That's not even the Domestic Terrorist Act. Get ready, guys, because that's coming your direction. You have always been the focus. The current FBI official told NBC News, I love how it's just official, right? What's his name? Where is he from? What's his alignment? None of it. It doesn't even matter. Because FBI said, suddenly this all makes sense. What happened to source material? What happened to having multiple sources? These people are simply regurgitators of intelligence from intelligence organizations. That's crazy. This is not news. This is a press release. He told them that the Bureau did not necessarily suspect. This is the point I was making. So after everything they just said, remember, this is what they finished with. The current FBI official told NBC News that the Bureau did not necessarily suspect Russian involvement in the Bitcoin transfers, which appear to have been made by a French computer programmer who died by suicide on December 8th after triggering the transfers, according to French media. Okay, so the whole thing is based on the fact that money went to people on the alt-right, and they're suggesting that might have gone to fund what happened, which suggests that foreign nationals were involved. And then they finish up by saying, but we have no reason to tie Russia to this. So what the hell was this whole thing about? So is France arming our people against the government? Why isn't that the argument then, if it was a French person? Because that doesn't work for them. So they just write an entire article connecting dots that aren't there, and then just kind of hope you walk away thinking Russia bad guy. But the cryptocurrency payment prompted the FBI to examine whether any of the money was used to find illegal. By the way, that's supposed to be fund. Good job, NBC. Fund illegal acts, which, if true, raises the possibility of money laundering and conspiracy charges. Don't you love that? So you're telling me that they're going to use cryptocurrency that is transparent, that anybody can access and anybody can look and see, to use this to laundering money and conspiracy? Or would they use the US dollar, which they could totally get away with? The same point. How stupid is that? But just because you're supposed to think that cryptocurrency dangerous, well, they'll float that and most people won't even know the difference. Great journalism. So basically it amounts to French guy gives money to people on the right, and we want you to think that might be Russia, even though we don't think it's Russia. Great job. Well, here's an interesting character you've heard before, Chris Krebs from CISA, or I guess formerly from CISA. I forget how that worked out, but we're in the midst of a, this is his personal account. So founder, partner, former director. So yeah, because I remember he was either fired or about to quit, and I didn't actually follow up on that. But the point is, Chris Krebs, an obvious person that, you know, this is Trump pointy at the time in regards to CISA, which is obviously, as Whitney and I have talked about, tied in with the whole COVID-19 agenda. And so that's an interesting tie-in, right? This is a COVID agenda, in my opinion, that's crossing over into what's happening with the Capitol. He says, we're in the midst of a multi-front assault on democracy. While domestic insurrectionists try to overturn a legitimate election. So he's literally arguing what we just showed you was a full assault on democracy, domestic insurrectionists. And are we really going to pretend that what they were doing there was an attempt to overturn? I mean, how does that even make sense? They're going to rush in and just tell you to do it? And they were allowed in, and that makes perfect sense for why they were trying to. I mean, none of it adds up. Of course, and they say right here, Iranian actors continue to threaten and intimidate election workers and those defending democracy. If you have relevant info, please report to the FBI. Iranian cyber actors continue to threaten U.S. officials. Right, so think about how crazy that is, as Israel and the United States government have admitted to, I mean, was it five times over the last so many months, actively carrying out cyber attacks on Iran. We just showed you they had an entire power outage across big portion of the country. Israel has been claiming their act. They've been bombing and exploding things and doing all kinds of stuff. I didn't mean bombing is the wrong word. Using these cyber attacks to create explosions. And I've seen it already. And so when they're claiming Iran is not even doing anything but threatening people via cyber or via email. I mean, do we not understand how these things work? I don't even take at face value this is even happening. Why would we believe this is even happening if they don't show us anything? The FBI lies about damn near everything they do. So does all the intelligence organizations. But if you're openly attacked numerous times by sending a threatening email, you're suddenly the bad guy? And this is not in defense of Iran. This is just in defense of anybody dealing with the dishonest actions coming from these governments. This is like the fact that Israel is, and with the United States, Pompeo was the one that guided this last time, killing 57 people, continued to illegally bomb Syria. Now, if Syria turned around and sent a strongly worded letter to U.S. officials, are they the bad guy now because they threatened them with an email? This is how stupid this stuff is. If you have information regarding this, all this is to keep you thinking Iran and thinking U.S. election and thinking threat. That's all they want you thinking from this. And that's why Chris Krebs is floating this out. It's all leading in the same direction. Here is an interesting tie to this. Trump allies behind the rally that ignited the Capitol riot. So now they're stepping even further back. So now they're continuing to build on the idea that the funding somehow secretly came from Iran, even though there's nothing that makes that. Or Russia, even though it was a French guy. Or whatever. We're just going to continue to float this. What they're doing here is trying to paint a line to people directly to the Trump administration. But here's what's stupid about this. This is the point I said earlier. If you start a protest, if you plan a protest, and people within it break off and do something, or even if inside the protest they do something as an isolated group, and the rest of them don't, are you responsible? I mean, look at this. Let me ask you this. If you schedule a protest as an individual with stated purposes of protesting peacefully, and then it breaks out into violence, are you still responsible? I don't understand how that makes sense. Are we not responsible for our own actions in this country? Or by that same logic, wouldn't the government be responsible for our actions? See, they'll never make that claim because then all of a sudden, the point is that they want to make you responsible for everything in any way they want it to go. You're now guilty by virtue of being present. Members of President Donald Trump's failed presidential campaign played key roles in orchestrating the Washington rally that spawned a deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol, which is a joke to argue that what happened there was a deadly assault. all these people on one side are screaming about how they barely got out with their lives, and we just showed you. I mean, it's not even close to what actually happened. But they'll use it. They'll use that for the rest of their career to argue that they were in the Capitol assault and they thought they were going to die. They'll use that to get reelected. They'll use it for whatever they can. Because that's what politicians do. They lie. But it says, according to the Associated Press Review of Records, undercutting claims the event was the brainchild of the president's grassroots supporters. So now it's literally he making the case that Trump, his administration, his campaign made this whole thing happen. Now, I don't see, you could argue that that's, I mean, look, people involved with any organization, such as the Point Here, a group of called Women for America First is who hosted the Save America rally. Of course, they're going to have people that are connected with the administration. They're actively trying to get him elected. The point is, this is a group called Women for America First who chose to create this. And now drawing lines between a group that obviously will have connections to the group that they're trying to elect and is saying because they've got connections mean that Trump made this happen. And then even further saying that that means that they wanted the violence to happen. There are so many assumptions there, but this is every part of this narrative. It says, but on January 6th, an attachment to the National Park Service public gathering permit granted to a group lists more than half a dozen people in staff positions for the event who just weeks earlier had been paid thousands of dollars by Trump's 2020 reelection campaign. I don't know why that's surprising. Other staff scheduled to be on site during the demonstration have close ties with the White House. Now, I don't even know why it would be alarming if Trump did have a part in making this protest happen. If you're going to, why would you gather a permit to then go commit violence? None. I mean, if a child could see why this doesn't make sense. The point is there might have been people there that had that intention, but clearly the people that put their name on it pretty clearly don't intend to get arrested for things by giving you their name and saying, I'm here, this is my agenda, and now I'm going to go break windows. You got my name, right? But it says the riot at the Capitol incited by Trump's comments. Again, that's totally, that is an opinion. You could argue that that might be the case, but he didn't say that. So you're either psychic or you're claiming to know what his intentions were. I don't know why anyone thinks this is journalism. The president told the crowd to march to the Capitol and that you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. Now, it's funny how that's not what they used to delete him off Twitter. But even that, you could argue, is even a little bit more in this, like, take back your country. That's what they're trying to do. But people use that rhetoric every single election. Take back our country from the Democrats or the Republicans. You have to, you know, show strength. And these are things that we hear every election. But now because of the context of what they made happen, well, suddenly he's a terrorist. Women for America First, which applied for and received the Park Service permit, did not respond to messages basically about how the event was financed and so on. But they're trying to say because they created the rally that violence happened, which means violence was what they're all responsible for. And there's no reason that that makes sense in any other context. But it works for them politically, so they're going to do it. Now, here's a New Jersey man with a secret security clearance at a Navy base charged in the Capitol riot. I think this is part of the PSYOP, in my opinion. But as always, take it for what you will. You'll see what I mean when you read through this. This is an individual on the 17th, or therein right around the day before possibly, who was charged for being there. But before we even read it, the point should be made that just because somebody has a job or works in the military or so on, does not mean that they don't have political beliefs and may not have done this of their own accord. But this being stated is why they're trying to tie in the idea that anyone in the military could suddenly be a threat, as if this was some kind of coup attempt, which it clearly was not. A New Jersey man who is a U.S. Navy contractor, so not even, so it was funny, it doesn't technically, so it's with security clearance. Great. Just give it a minute, guys. It looks like we just dropped out. I'm just going to give it a second in hopes that it comes back. Very interesting. Here, for those that may be seeing this, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip real quick in hopes that it comes back. Let's play some video here. Let's see. What's a good thing to wait with? Oh, there we go. I think it just came back on. There we go. Okay. I'm glad I waited. I hope that'll, of course, that's probably going to cut the clip for YouTube, which it always does. even though that doesn't matter because BitChute is really where I'm focusing on anyway today. But welcome back. I'll give it a second to make sure everybody comes back. I don't know how long that had been cutting out. I hope it wasn't too long. But anyway, so let's keep going. Let's see what we... Yep, see, I mean, that's how this works. There's a reason that happens, guys. Don't forget that. But let's get back to the point. New Jersey man with secret security clearance at Navy base charged in Capitol riot. Now, the idea that they're saying secret security clearance at a Navy base is clearly meant to suggest military. And this is the point. They know that a vast majority of people read the headlines, share the headlines. They know that. That's why Twitter tried to stop you from doing that or brings up messages that say, are you sure you don't want to read it first? They don't do that with these, though. They do it with alt media stuff. But that's the point. Now, this says a New Jersey man who is a contractor for the U.S. Navy with secret security clearance has been charged with taking part in the U.S. Capitol riot. So he's just a guy, a contractor who happens to work for the U.S. Navy, but not really a military personnel. Timothy Lewis Hale, described as an avowed, and this is the best part about this. Maybe they read the first couple paragraphs. So this says, described as, which even I read this, I'm thinking that that's his description or something from his discussions or something like that. And that's definitely what they want you to think. Described as, quote, an avowed white supremacist and Nazi sympathizer in court papers, allegedly told other pro-Trump rioters to advance during the deadly transgender siege. Now, understand, there was a lot of people saying go forward, especially after the police happily opened the gates for them. And they said, let's go. That could easily be what they're saying right there. He was charged Friday with, and this is what I love about the insurrection, the coup attempt, right? That's treason. If they really believe what they're saying, that people used to be hung on the White House lawn for things way less than that. And no way I'm arguing that should be happening. My point is, if they believe this was insurrection or an actual treasonous act of overthrowing the government, they would charge them like that. But here's what it says. He was charged on Friday with 5 federal counts, including knowingly entering a building, a restricted building, which is what most of them are getting it. Disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, disrupting the orderly conduct of government business, which seems like the same thing, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building, and obstructing a law enforcement officer. So does that not sound like somebody who was protesting in a place they shouldn't be? Yes. So they're charging them for protesting while claiming it was a coup and insurrection by making it 5 different things. So the media will report, well, they got charged with 5 federal crimes. Entering a building restricted, except the fact that they were let in, so that shouldn't count. Disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. Well, did he? Or are you talking about the couple of people that are in that one video and you're just making out to be everybody anywhere? Disrupting the orderly conduct of government business, they were let in the building. Picketing at a Capitol building? Is that not your right? What happened to sit-ins? And obstructing the law enforcement officer. I don't remember that happening other than a few locations, but they're giving it to everybody. But here's the interesting part, is they're claiming he's a Nazi and a sympathizer, or white supremacist. So this leads into the narrative. So I'm very suspect about who this guy is and whether he's actually what they're saying he is. A U.S. Army reservist. That's funny. I don't remember that actually last time, but so I guess I was wrong to begin with there. I guess it is highlighted. I'm wondering, I don't remember seeing that last time. But anyway, going forward, a U.S. Army reservist, Hale Cusinelli, works at the Naval Weapons Station where he has access to a variety of munitions. So he just has access to things. Do you see how they're grasping at straws here? Did this guy have weapons? Was he stockpiling them? Was he planning an assault? No, he works at a place that has access to weapons, so this guy's dangerous. And this is, by the way, this is according to an affidavit. The Naval Criminal Investigation Service began looking into him after receiving a tip from an informant who said that he confessed to breaking into the Capitol, probably his neighbor or a family member, which is what they're driving toward today. So somebody called the FBI and said, this guy I know said he was there. Here's his name. That's disgusting. Did he commit a crime? You don't just, because the media makes the whole thing out to be something, doesn't mean he's just by being there was a criminal. That's what's happening now. So they arrested him. He allegedly showed the informant videos of himself, quote, this is their take on it, making harassing and derogatory statements towards Capitol Police officers, both inside and outside the Capitol, which, by the way, is not a crime. You have every right to speak your mind. It's called free speech. I can tell you that I don't respect what you're doing. I can tell you that I think you're a pig. It doesn't change the fact that you have a right to say those things. But they're just using that as a way to make it to set the table for why he is part of the problem. In recording conversations with the informant on Thursday, he admitted to encouraging other members to advance. That's it. Giving directions via voice and hand signals. God, you mean like pointing forward and saying, let's go? Yes. But this is how they're trying to frame this into a way that makes it out to be some kind of, you're going to assume that's a big white supremacist hand signal. Go, go. It's pathetic. He said that, quote, if they'd had more men, they could have taken over the entire building. Now, here's where I begin to question whether or not this guy is actually being planted in this whole narrative. Because I don't believe, look at what we saw there yesterday. Do you really believe that anybody was actually, with their mindset, was that we were going to go in here? And I believe that there were people that thought this, very clearly, in the MAGA world, but that day with what was going on there, you know, people walking through velvet ropes and taking pictures and being led in by police. Are we going to pretend that these people were literally trying to overtake the entire building with that few people? I mean, come on. But he says the informant described, and here's the important part. So now we come down to find out that, oh, the person who told on him is the one who claimed he was a white supremacist, Nazi sympathizer, known for, quote, proffering extreme political opinions and viewpoints. Ah, on his YouTube channel. So now you find out that his neighbor is somebody who is politically different than he is. He's probably a Trump supporter. So they just by default call him a Nazi sympathizer and a white supremacist because that's what the media tells them to do. See how it all fits together? They're creating their own narrative and tricking people like this mindless person into telling on their neighbors because they're scared about what the media lied to them about. And you wouldn't know any of this if you just said, oh, secretive Navy guy, Capitol riot, oh my gosh, and just shared it to 30 people. They count on that. Prior to traveling to the rally and protest on January, he wrote, trust the plan. It's the final countdown. Stay tuned to next episode and trust the plan. Major announcement soon. Oh, well, he must have meant killing people at the Capitol then. Oh, well, that must be because that's facts. But that's literally what the media is doing today. They will share that and go, he meant this, and that's what's happening. According to the Associated Press Review, at least 22 current or former members of the U.S. military or law enforcement have been identified as being near or at the riot. So what, I mean, what does that, it's just, it's pathetic how desperately they're trying to do this, and people buy it, but I believe most don't. And this is what we're beginning to see now. Armed demonstrations unfold in state houses ahead of the inauguration. And as I wrote, well, it looks as if the FBI PSYOP teams, the armed protesters have begun to arrive. Look at this group. Are you telling me right now that, I'm not arguing that everyone in this is necessarily, you know, the point is all you really need is one of them to be an FBI informant, you know, to basically set this up, lead them, convince these people they're doing it for a good reason. And then it happens. That's what the FBI does literally every time. So this could just as easily be one of those events. But I want to point out why after what happened there and after all the rhetoric we're hearing, oh my, they're going to come. They literally said armed protest, which that's what the media was telling us was going to happen. And what do you know? Here we are. Here's an armed demonstration right on cue. And they're all dressed in look at, it's as if they want to make it seem like people who are trying to promote the Second Amendment and trying to promote their rights, in most cases, don't come out like this. This does not seem genuine to me, but I could be wrong. Armed demonstrations unfold in the state houses, and it says armed demonstrators assembled outside the capitals of several states on Sunday. As all 50 states in Washington, D.C. braced for possible violence ahead of Inauguration Day, but the events were muted and devoid of violence. So nothing happened. So they did what they were allowed to do under the Constitution. Why is that an article? Well, because they were armed. This is literally it. And that's probably on purpose. I believe that there's people driving. As I said last show, far as I can tell, by almost all circles I can hear on the side of Trump supporters, they're being told that this is dangerous, that you're being tricked. Don't protest. You go out and protest right now, you're being tricked. We're not doing this. This is not MAGA. That's what I'm hearing. And yet we still see this? I find that to be suspect. And by the way, they're even calling out the Proud Boys. They're you guys are... It's something seems off about this whole damn thing. But as Patrick also points out, this is comical. And this one is quite alarming. One of the media's phony self-described Hezbollah experts, and these are usually people that... Have, and I don't think this is in her case, but in usually these people are like Iran experts, are people that have never even been to Iran. They're experts because they were reading intelligence by intelligence groups that have a vested interest in overthrowing Iran. Right? That's the study for decades what they're told to believe about Iran. But this is the same kind of idea, insists that Buffalo Man, that's what they're calling him, I guess, the guy with the horns, and the January 6th DC Trump supporters, she's literally arguing that they were actual terrorists. Not just one of them. Not just the violent ones. But DC Trump supporters. So everybody there was an actual terrorist, according to this mainstream journalist. Writes for The Atlantic, Washington Post, NBC, Newsweek, New York Magazine, Foreign Policy, Esquire, Vice, Nation, etc. So she crosses all the bases. She says, please stop saying the Capitol attack was loosely organized online. The mob used to disguise the core terrorists was loosely organized online. The terrorists were trained ex-military militiamen and highly organized. They were minutes away from success. I mean, I don't even know why that's worth getting in a discussion about. That's so pathetically obviously not the case. I mean, even the people that are arguing this was dangerous are in no way arguing that this was some well-trained military operation. That's just pathetic. But this is what's happened. This is clearly meant to suggest that these were people coming from Iran-aligned efforts. This is alarming. And she's not even saying, well, we think they were helping them or funding them. She's saying they were there. And then suddenly you talk about the laptop that was taken from Pelosi's desk. And now suddenly you can argue there's some kind of breach and they've got information. And so when something happens later, they're going to say, well, that's why. And they stole it because Trump supporters and Q helped them. And now, oh, and you can all see where it's going. Now, yes, this is my assumption, my opinion. But the facts lead in this direction, and we keep pointing it, and it keeps happening. They're leading in this direction. Now, however it goes, whether Russia, China, or however you want to look at this, it'll be used to drive in the Domestic Terrorism Act. That's what this is going toward. It's just like after the Patriot Act, or after 9/11. They're creating an event in some way, or shape, or form, allowing it to happen in some way, shape, or form, and they're using that in a way to restrict you. They're using that to pass legislation that controls your life. And look at how the Patriot Act has worked for us. Whether or not you think, or whether or not you are aware yet that 9/11 was manipulated, or our government had played a role in that, as well as their allies like the Israeli government, until you, if you can't admit that to yourself just yet, still recognize that the Patriot Act was a horribly damaging thing that led to less everything, that removed our rights, that removed our freedom, our privacy, everything. And it was pointed at us. Everybody admits that. So now here we are with this, another act in the same way. So they're actually calling it Patriot Act 2.0. And we're allowing it to happen. Why? It's like we point to the horrible destruction of Libya and say, yeah, let's go do that over there in Syria. Why does that make sense to people? A country that's batting zero with liberating countries, right? Let's go liberate them. And then we burn it to the ground and kill everybody and say, we did well every single time. How well is Iraq doing? How well is Afghanistan doing? How well is Syria doing? I haven't been overthrown yet, but they're trying. How well is Venezuela doing? They've overthrown that more than once, but they're trying again now. How well is Bolivia doing? How well is all these countries doing that they're supposedly liberating? Look at Libya, open slave market. Good job, guys. So here they are doing it again in a different way. They're trying to use these narratives in every possible way and just Patriot Act 2.0 because freedom. Other countries have domestic spy agencies to fight extremists at home. Does America need one too? guess what their argument is? Yes, they do. But here's the fun part about it, right? We're talking about domestic spy agencies. And if you were to point at another country like Iran or any of the ones they don't like and pointed out how they have groups in those countries that actively surveil individuals in their countries and call them whatever you want to call them, terrorists, insurrectionists, treasonous, they would point at that as crazy and dangerous and undemocratic and the act of a dictator, totalitarian government. You know they would, and they have. But when it happens to us, it's for freedom, though. So it's okay. That's it. That's what people take today. Oh, freedom? Good, good, good then. Government freedom. Good times. If you don't understand that there's nothing more to the argument, then you're not paying attention. You're listening to mainstream media, and you're nodding your head. This is the last thing that we should want. Even if you believe there's domestic terrorists, we already have all kinds of, look, we have the FBI, we have all kinds of stuff with their entire job is tasked with finding these things. That the FBI is internal. The CIA is supposed to be out, even though they both cross over. Why do we need a whole nother one? It's like adding on more legislation for crimes that we already have legislation for. It's because of power and control. That's what it's all about. Oh, that's right. I wanted to read this one part of this on the incognito window. Here's what this says in the first paragraph. Can U.S. spy agencies stop white terror? White terror. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Can you imagine an article that said, can they stop black terror? Why is that racist and this one's not? It's ignorance is what that is. But here's what it says. What we had here was a failure to communicate. Again, on January 6th, years after numerous investigations and study commissions picked apart, or didn't at all, in fact, the intelligence failures leading up to September 11th. So they're arguing, well, September 11th was just a failure of imagination. We just didn't talk to each other, which is just, that was the most, that was the flimsiest argument from the entire thing that has very clearly been shown to be false, but they still float it. We never imagine planes flying into buildings. And there's the 13 examples of where they did just that, including the very day that this happened. But we just didn't know. We were just weren't talking to each other. I can't believe they still go off this ridiculous report that everybody knows was false. But what they're saying is, well, it happened again. Okay, so even if you think that's the case, and ever since 2001, September 11th, they've been doing things and taking actions and restricting our rights in order to make sure it never happens again, and it happens again. Under their narrative, mind you, with a man in a buffalo suit and a couple of angry people. And that's supposed to be, and so decades of money and funding and restrictions, and that still happens again? And guess what the argument is? Well, since it happened for a second time, we need to do the same thing again even more. That's your U.S. government 101. We'll do something that benefits us. When it doesn't work the way they want it to, we'll tell them we need more of the thing that doesn't help them. And then we'll do it again, and we'll do, oh, we need even more, though. Every time. Last week, America's security agencies were again caught flat-footed when another kind of militant wave flat-footed, as if, you know, flat-footed let them in the building. Yeah, pretty flat-footed. This time, pro-Trump fanatics stormed and trashed the citadel of American democracy. Listen to this propaganda line. Nearly executing what Al-Qaeda had failed to do, destroy the U.S. Capitol. You mean Al-Qaeda that the U.S. government created and then funded and armed that became ISIS and they continue to fund and arm and then they move them around from country to country using them at their best interest? Yep. They didn't. Al-Qaeda never had any agenda to do that. They're supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria right now. They're supporting Al-Qaeda in Yemen right now. So this person, Jeff Stein, is either that ignorant or doesn't care. But that's typically what we deal with in mainstream media. But this is really incredible. So we missed it on 9/11 because we weren't paying attention. So we did all this and we did it again with less people and less danger. So let's add more restrictions and more money for government because it worked so well the last time, right? Well, Biden's planning dozens of executive orders for early days of presidency to the point I said earlier because Trump. Right? We're going to do exactly what we've been demonizing because Trump bad guy. And everyone goes, yay! This is the point as I talk about ruling by executive order. There's 1,000 reasons why we so clearly do not live in a democracy, or really, I would argue, a representative government. But This is one of the clearest examples of why we do not have anything like that, because our governments, every single time they want to do something, just sign a piece of paper and it goes. And executive orders do not even apply to us. It applies to the executive branch. But they don't care about that because rules don't matter to dictators and authoritarians. It does not. What does matter is maintaining the illusion of democracy to make sure you people out there that are still holding on for dear life, just the small percentage of you left that they need to pretend to be the majority. As long as you're there holding on, they're going to keep pushing it forward. They pretend for you. As it says, these actions will change the course of COVID-19, combat climate change, promote. So all these things, which arguably with the control of the Senate, the House, and the executive branch, they could just do. But instead, they're just going to sign a bunch of executive orders and let it happen. Because democracy, right? These actions will change the course of COVID-19, climate change, promote racial equality, equity, and support other undeserved communities, and rebuild our economy in ways that strengthen the backbone of this country. Right. So this is, no, they just, this, understand, that's all you get. No congressional debate, no discussion, no writing out why this is beneficial for both sides of the two-party illusion. Nope, you just get one group who's making their decisions and writing them out and signing a piece of paper. It has to do with your economy, has to do with COVID-19, has to do with your climate, has to do with everything. This is what democracy is, guys? This is what you voted for? People on his side are going, yay! But that's the problem. As long as you're willing to support a authoritarian that you think you can follow, that's it will flip-flop back and forth. It says the working men and women who built their nation, Klein wrote in a memo, strengthening the backbone, basically strengthening the working men and women who built our nation. Very undefined, and I guarantee it won't amount to that. They'll get something, sure, but they're going to give the vast majority to big business and big pharma and everything else like they always do. By the way, as Biden and Kamala Harris's track records show you, they will. While the policy objectives in these executive orders are bold, I want to be clear. And this is the best part as they try to explain while what they're doing is the opposite of what Trump did. The legal theory behind them, executive orders, is well-founded and represents a restoration of an appropriate constitutional role for the president. Okay, so when Trump does it, it's Nazi. But when they do it, it's a well-founded and represents a restoration of the right thing because Biden's there now. Your children, if you heard this and went, yeah, that makes sense. It's because you believe you want Biden and don't like Trump. You're a child. And it's time to recognize that and realize that you're being played with your emotions. This isn't how governments are supposed to operate. Or I take that back. This is how governments operate. This is not how a representative government is supposed to operate or a representative society. But to finish off the opening part here, I want to show you a speech I just saw that I find very interesting. I like this guy is part of a militia group out here. Now, by the way, I don't know whether this guy is part of a, you know, some kind of a psyop or whatever you want to talk about. I'm just, nonetheless, I want you to listen to what he's saying. And of course, the way he ends is going to be framed as threatening violence if they don't do what they're told. But the point is, these are American people who are speaking up in a two-party illusion context and saying that we demand to be heard. We demand to be, I mean, just listen to it for yourself and realize that this is what we have a right to do, whether it's for militias, whether it's to be armed, whether it is to defend your rights, whether it is to stand up for what you believe in. Just because they're being framed a certain way is what's making this dangerous. Our literal, the constitution of this country enshrines what they're doing in every possible way, but yet it's suddenly a dangerous thing today. Ask yourself why that makes sense. Take a listen.
Antifa, Boogaloo, and right-wing militias, they are the antibodies, not the disease that is destroying our country. The disease is a country run by two corrupt political parties that do not care about you. So deeply incestuous with corporations that they're indistinguishable from each other. A government that spent 6 months debating whether to give their own people $600, but only 24 hours to unanimously agree to give billions of dollars to foreign tyrannical governments and corporations. A government that has bombed villages overseas my entire life for my supposed safety here. This is a call for unity. For all of American people that realize the true threat against us to come together. For every mother mourning her children that was killed by police. For every business crushed down by state lockdowns. For every broken soldier sent to fight wars that have no point. This is our last chance to avoid either a tyrannical government or a bloody and pointless civil war among American people who do not have that much against each other and have more in common than they realize. And a message to the government. We come in peace. We do not intend to commit violence. But I am pleading with you, with tears in my eyes and cracks in my voice. If you continue to oppress the American people, they will remain rational no longer. Thank you.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that? Well, now, what's important to recognize, you know, context, is that that is basically what our founding fathers have said in the past. Right? That you know, if you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. Or resistance, I forget how exactly frames. And I believe that was Thomas Jefferson. So what's funny is that people will frame what he just said as terrorism, as a violent threat to our democracy, yet it's almost, I mean, he's making the same argument that a founding father of this country has made. And they, it's because it's, to be clear again, to kind of draw us together, that they look exactly like the group that I was just pointing out, which I argue doesn't really make much sense, but it doesn't mean that it's not actually couldn't be organic. But I'm questioning all of that. I question that group right there. But I nonetheless found the words that were being stated to be very interesting, kind of give you a perspective on what's being stated as he stands there with a rainbow flag on his shirt saying two-party illusion, or not saying that, but insinuating that both parties are a problem. It's interesting. And I find that to be a little more, you know, I mean, maybe just because it aligns more with what I'm thinking. But at the end of the day, that is what they're deeming dangerous. And I just don't understand it, because what he's saying is, look, we're not violent. We're not here to cause violence. All we want is to be, we want our rights and we want our freedom. And that's where we're being stolen from right now. They're being taken from us. And what they're saying is that if you force us in the position, we will defend ourselves. We will fight for what we believe in. That's the point. If we're watching family members, I dropped my pen. If we're watching family members die right now, you could argue that you are at threat. Different people have different opinions. As always, I advocate for nonviolence. But you understand that pushed to a certain position, people have a right to respond. I mean, even in the rules of war in the world, talking about people like places like Palestine or any position we're talking about of an occupied territory, they have a legal right to fight back. Again, I'm not advocating for that, but I find what's happening there to be very interesting. So hopefully we'll continue to follow it and fight for what's right. Stand up for your rights, regardless of what side, what arbitrary political side you believe that you're on. Which brings us into COVID-19, which is being bent and manipulated the same exact way, which I just am continually frustrated by. Now, before I do that, let me close some of these really quickly. So possibly save some freezing. I already got them saved. But we're going to get into COVID-19 now. And there's some really alarming stuff to get into, guys. In regard to studies and people speaking out, showing us the truth, what we've been trying to do on this channel for a long time now. Now, this is a tweet starting off from Bloomberg. Joe Biden won't hesitate to, quote, use whatever mechanisms we can to speed the production and distribution of the shots. Which is interesting for a lot of reasons, especially when we get into the weirdness of how they're rushing this out to get everyone one as fast as they can, even as people like the FDA are going, that's not right. That's dangerous. We don't know if there's any, we don't even know if this is efficacious without the second shot. They don't care. I wonder why that would be. It seems to me that it makes most sense in their minds to just get this in people's arms, however much, as quick as possible. That doesn't seem like the mindset, the driving force is to make you healthy. That seems like the driving force is to get this in everyone's arms at all costs, which alarms me. But we'll get into it more and you'll see what I mean. Now, this is James Lyons Weiler again pointing this out. And this is actually, this video you're going to see of Fauci is painful. It's like he's spoon feeding you the ABCs. Right? It's like, yes, we understand the building blocks of this discussion, but that's all. Basically, he's being asked about why a surplus stockpile suddenly is not there right now. Biden called for the release of the stockpile. Trump agreed. And all of a sudden, there's no stockpile. Not a joke. Explanation? Match amounts on dosing because 1 + 1 = 2. So James is exactly on the same mindset. Like, it's really dumb that he has to go, well, because we need one for other people. You'll see what I mean. But the what he doesn't get into is why there was a discrepancy on whether there was a stockpile and whether or not we're even going to have one for other people. It's just, it's amazing. I think this was actually the video I have. Yeah, here's the video link as well, but let's play the video on here so you can watch it and laugh along with me how dumb this is.
So let me start with this plain up the vaccine question, which is there was this announcement. President-elect Biden calls for releasing all of the stockpile. The Trump administration agrees, and all of a sudden there's no stockpile. Was this a miscommunication? Was this a bigger error? What is the explanation here?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, Chuck, but I tried and I think successfully sorted that out. I had a conversation with General Perna last night and again this morning.
So right off the bat, it sounds like he's about to explain, right? I figured it out. I talked to the general. So he's asking why there's a discrepancy between whether we have one or not. Now, first of all, realize that it's really dumb that they're saying that let's release it to everybody and they both agree and then there's nothing to release. That's not a misunderstanding, right? There's a deception happening here and somebody found out that wasn't supposed to or however that works out. But I argue it's either because they were trying to create these false scarcity or what, you know, or ultimately they just didn't have any more and they were just trying to deceive you. Or I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could go, but the way that they're discussing this is ripe with deception. And here, when he gets into not explaining why, it'll be even worse.
You know, I'm not exactly sure, Chuck, but I tried and I think successfully sorted that out. I had a conversation with General Perna last night and again this morning. And I think there was just a misunderstanding. In the beginning, when it wasn't quite clear about what the cadence, as he calls it, of the rolling out of doses would be, there was a lot of caution. So they wanted to make sure that everyone who got a first dose...
Okay, so this is what everybody's heard already. And this is, again, spoon-feeding you the ABCs, right? Okay, so everyone needs two shots. One is 21 days apart, the other's 28 days apart. They held the ones they needed back for people who needed another shot. I don't know why that's confusing. So they held them for everybody. So they made sure when 21 days passed, they had one available. Because even Pfizer is saying, we don't know if we can keep up with the demand. If they release it all. They've already stated that. I'll show you another statement they made just recently. So that's not confusing to anybody. They held them back so you could have a second one. The point was they said, let's release them all right now. So everyone can get their first one, even though we can almost guarantee they won't have one by the time they need their second. So they said, yay, okay, we all agree, release them. And there was nothing to release. He's not even remotely explaining why that is.
Got a second dose on time. So when doses were released, an equal amount was kept back to make sure that if there was any glitches in the supply flow, that the people who got their first doses would clearly get their second doses.
Yes, you just said that. So he repeated himself. Let's keep continuing.
After a couple of cycles, when it became clear that the cadence of the flow of doses was really going to be consistent and reliable,
which is the opposite of what Pfizer and I believe Moderna is saying,
the decision was made instead of just giving enough for the first dose and holding back for the second dose, that as soon as they got the doses available, they would give it because now they would have confidence that the next amount they would get, they'd have enough at least to give everybody the second dose and then some to give the first dose.
Except that's not even close to what's being said. Like, that's literally the opposite. And guess what? He didn't explain why there's no stockpile, which was the question, right? So the question is, what's the confusion? And he just explains to you why they held shots back for people who need a second one. And then, well, we decided to release the stockpile that isn't there because, well, we know we're going to have more coming. Okay, so answer the damn question, right? The point is, what is going on with the absence of a stockpile? And the point is, Chuck Todd just goes, uh-huh, okay. Like, be a journalist, man. Ask the follow-up question. But the point is, that's not what even Pfizer is saying. Delaying second COVID-19 vaccine doses will make supplies last longer, but comes with risks. Right. It makes them last longer to make sure people get a first shot. And they're even arguing that we should give them less than the original amount, even for the first shot, to make sure we can split that among other people. And it's just so, this is the definition of unscientific. They are not, and even their scientists are saying this. The UK scientists, they argued that they could mix and match the vaccines and be like, well, if you come back and you had the Moderna first, you can get the Pfizer one instead. That's only if we don't have enough. And their own scientists are saying that's unbelievably unscientific. The direct quote from the UK scientists was they're trying to guess their way out of a problem. And that's not some fringe scientist. That's the government people that are responding to what's going on. And it's happening anyway. This is incredible how this. Think about how funny it is that these are the people telling us you need to trust the science. Trust the science. You have to trust the science. The science is what needs to guide us. And then they hear from the scientists and they go, no, we need this more. This is better. We're going to just push it out anyway because we know it works and everyone's going to get some of it and it'll be okay. And all the science are going, there's no evidence of that whatsoever. The science doesn't say that. Ah, trust the science. That's what's happening right now. And meanwhile, when I point to facts and show you scientific studies, you're not listening to the science. And that's how this goes. People are blindly listening to people that they think they can trust. And that's alarming. But as it says, drug makers are facing challenges in manufacturing vaccines. Okay, it already starts out different than what Fauci just said. And building supply chains to meet the demand for COVID-19 vaccines. Pfizer has even lowered production targets. Huh? Lowering production targets does not sound like what Fauci just explained. Sounds like the opposite. Scarcity of vaccines has prompted, okay, scarcity, which seems like an intentional scarcity when you're lowering production. Scarcity of vaccines has prompted calls for a Band-Aid like strategy to stretch the precarious supply. Now, to protect as many people as possible from COVID-19, the UK's medical officers have chosen to prioritize distribution of a first vaccine dose to as many people as possible. By delaying the second dose of the Pfizer biotech vaccine, look at this, up to 12 weeks from the recommended 3 to 4. So now they're saying, when they were screaming at us about have to following this, we need our vaccine documentation because we have to make sure they come back for the 21 or 28 day. And now because of just some circumstance, they go, well, we'll just push it out to 12 weeks. There's no science to that at all. 12 weeks when it was supposed to be 3 or 4. President-elect Biden wants to release all the vaccine doses to speed up the vaccination program. By the way, that was the point, is they said they were going to do it, and then they turned out there wasn't a stockpile. We're being lied to. You need to see that. But the risk is that vaccine makers won't be able to replenish the supply to make sure the second dose is on time, which again is Fauci just lied to you because they're all saying the opposite. These decisions have opened up a rift between experts because some support giving a second single vaccine dose to as many as possible, which is not supported by the science. So any of these quote experts that are saying that are dangerous and shouldn't be listened to because the science, that's an opinion. I don't care if you're an expert or not. You don't tell somebody something. That's the same as me saying something because I'm an expert in it that is not rooted in the science and being censored on YouTube because it's not rooted in the science. It doesn't matter what you are. The facts matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter what you are, but the point is the facts matter above all else. To as many people as possible, while others want the vaccine according to the protocol during the clinical trials. Now understand, we haven't even finished this. I can't even believe people are still trying to argue that we have finished these trials. You understand what an emergency authorization use authorization is? That means that you're saying, well, we're an emergency, so we don't have to finish this. Or rather, we'll put this out before we're done. I mean, that's painfully clear. So that means you're not done with the trials. So what they're saying is the trials themselves are the reason they're telling us we need to stay to this strict two-dose scenario. And they're saying, well, we're just going to skip past that. We haven't even tested it like this, but we're going to do it anyway because everybody should get some of this thing. That's crazy. It says the Food and Drug Administration even reminded the medical community of the importance of receiving both doses. And to be clear, by the way, I am in no way arguing that anybody should be getting this thing. Hopefully that's been clear from the beginning of this entire show. But the point is to show you within their narrative. They're so desperate to get anybody anywhere to take even some of this thing that they're pushing, they're breaking all their own rules, and they're not even following their own science. And the FDA is saying, well, no, 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 you have to give them both in line with the way they were tested. Do you understand if that happened in any other circumstance, they would be telling us we were crazy? The FDA says there is no data. There is no data that demonstrates the vaccine efficacy if the second dose is delayed. And here we are as they drive it forward. There's a reason this is happening, guys. And here's what they're following it up with, right? This, technically, this is not an article from December, but it looks like it was updated. Anyway, the point is, this is the argument they're making. Timing doesn't have to be exact, right? They're already setting the narrative. This is arguably before this discussion of having not enough was even here, and they were already floating the idea based on nothing but the opinion of a government vaccine developer, not a scientist, not a doctor, a person who has a vested interest in selling the vaccine, who's saying, well, you know, it doesn't have to be exact time. People who get one of the new COVID vaccines will be expected to get their second shot 21 or 28 days after the first one, depending on the manufacturer. But what happens if someone misses the deadline by a day, even a week, even longer? Well, Moncef Salawi, you know, Mr. Biomedicine himself, says that there's a regulatory answer and there is a scientific observation. The vaccine made by Pfizer Biotech is to be given in two doses, 21 days apart, while Moderna's was studied within the two doses coming 28 days apart. Data released Tuesday by the FDA shows that protection from the vaccine starts almost immediately after the first shot. So wait a minute, this is cherry picking things that are being stated to float the idea that it's not really necessary, but the FDA themselves are saying no, right? The FDA is speaking up and saying, no, that's not okay. But it's right here. I'll make sure I include that as well. But here's USA Today just kind of misrepresenting their statements to make it seem like it's sort of okay. Because their agenda is to make sure you think this is good no matter what. Not journalism. And here's actually what we are seeing. I just put some out the other day showing you a whole bunch of them. But here's some of the new ones we haven't seen yet. This is continuing in Sweden and Norway and a lot of different places. Serious vaccine injuries and deaths reported in Sweden. According to the Medical Products Agency, a total of 96 injuries suspected of being caused by the corona vaccine have already been reported, of which about half are considered to be very serious. In addition, another Swedish elderly man died shortly after he was vaccinated. Among the suspected vaccine injuries that the Medical Products Agency is now to investigate are, among other things, acute facial paralysis, fever and chills and severe headache, all that we've heard, but also anaphylaxis as a serious allergic reaction that can lead to death. According to the Medical Products Agency, and this is important, the unit manager, Victoria Arthurson, both anaphylaxis and facial paralysis are side effects that have been known for some time. Well, that's quite different than what we're hearing from our mainstream media. Well, here is a Medical Products Agency unit manager saying, we know about this. We've known about these side effects for quite some time. 24 suspected vaccine lesions have not been reported, and have been previously known or noted in studies of the vaccine have also been reported. That's really interesting. Vaccine lesions. Remember, we talked about the, I'm going to blank on the term again, started with a T. It was with P. The pellets, or I forget what the term was. It's in regard to your blood. And the guy died from that weird blood disease. We think it was caused by the vaccine, and so do people that reported on it. I'm talking about doctors. So now we're talking about vaccine lesions? That sounds interestingly tied. The elderly man who died was 97 years old, and the chief physician, Robert Christensen, says that he does not see anything, quote, extraordinary in the case. As the deceased man must have had severe diseases. That's scientific. Is that what doctors normally do? Well, he must have had something. He was old. Good times. A total of 5 deaths linked to the corona vaccine have so far been reported in Sweden. But since all the deceased were old and had another disease, the Medical Products Agency believes that it is unlikely that the vaccine was the cause of death. That's all we hear. However, it's claimed they will still be investigating. It's claimed they'll still be investigating to get to the bottom of it. Do you think they'll tell you when they find out? If they find out? No, but they'll float the idea that it's probably not, even though they have no reason to say that, because that's what they want you to think. They could just as easily say, well, it might be the vaccine, and it also might not be. That's what but of course, they'll only say the one they want you to think, and then let that float forever. Because that's good journalism and good scientific reporting, right? Well, here is what they're saying in regard to the ones in Norway. This one was Sweden. Yes, here's the one in Norway. And here's what Sky News has to say. This should make you flip out. It's incredible the way that these people will report this stuff. And this, she's just doing what she's told. She's just a mindless repeater. But she's saying what they want her to say, which is basically, this is dangerous and this is all happening, but we don't care and we're going to keep going forward. Because danger. As always, makes absolutely no sense.
Pete, Australian authorities are seeking urgent clarification from their Norwegian counterparts after these disturbing reports that 30 people died shortly after receiving the Pfizer jab. The health minister saying, understandably, that Australia is proceeding with an abundance of caution here, but that nonetheless, the timeframe for approval for the Pfizer vaccine is still on track after receiving the Pfizer jab. The health minister saying, understandably, that Australia is proceeding with an abundance of caution here, but that nonetheless, the timeframe for approval for the Pfizer vaccine is still on track.
So, we have a lot of deaths. We don't know why. We're investigating, but we're going to keep going forward anyway. Because danger. Right. So we're rightly concerned, and we're going to take extra precaution. So, let me ask you this. What's extra precaution? So, are we to believe that they were precautions that they could have been taking, but they weren't, but now they're going to? Really? Does anybody believe? So, maybe. But so then the question should be, why weren't they taking those actions before? Why, if this was so incredibly severe and were a big deal and dangerous pandemic of our century, why wouldn't they take all the precautions necessary? By the way, I think they did, at least what they're supposed to. Their argument is, we're going to now be more precautious. That's just nonsense. That's statements. They're going to keep doing what they're doing is the point. Yes, we know these deaths are happening. And yes, we think that we don't care. We're going to tell you it's not related and we're going to investigate, but we're going to keep going forward. That's what they're telling you. We're just going to keep going forward because we don't know for sure. It should be the opposite. If you're actually concerned it might be connected and you haven't proven it yet, you should immediately stop and find out whether that's the case. But the vaccine delivery is the game. It's the point. So that's going on no matter what. We'll deal with everything else. If this was cannabis, let's say. Oh no, we're finding out we were taking 40 years to investigate cannabis just to make sure it's safe. And we're not even sure. We think it still may be dangerous, but a vaccine that's clearly killing people. And we're going to go, well, we'll keep rushing it out, but we'll circle back a year from now and let you know the truth. It's because of what they want to achieve.
With an abundance of caution here, but that nonetheless, the timeframe for approval for the Pfizer vaccine is still on track for later this month. Norwegian authorities say that they cannot rule out a link between the side effects of the jab being nausea and a fever that having contributed to these deaths. In a statement, though, the Therapeutic Goods Administration here in Australia.
Now, that was quick, so you might have missed it. This is a shameless attempt to downplay the real possible connection. What she said there was, they can't rule out that the symptoms that we know happen, like nausea and headaches, those symptoms could have led to the death. So they're saying, well, maybe the nausea caused something that triggered something that caused the death. So is the nausea, not necessarily the vaccine. That's crazy. The point is that we can't rule out that the vaccine didn't kill these people. That's what's happening right now. And that's why they're actually investigating. And that's why this is everywhere right now. This is only the first one. Remember that the second dose exponentially increases the severity of the side effects. That's their own statements. But yeah, it might have been the nausea that caused their death. Maybe.
Australia says, quote, the deaths were recorded amongst very frail patients, including some who were anticipated to have only weeks or months to live.
So let's think about this for a second. So we're to believe that this is the worst pandemic in a century in our lifetimes, and that this thing is very we're scarce and we don't have enough vaccine to the point that we're already talking about giving half doses and stretching it out, blah, blah, blah. And yet we're giving it to people who have weeks to live. Oops. You see, this is what it looks like when you're trying to justify a narrative. When you lie about everything, as I often say, you can't turn in any direction without stepping on a previous lie. So they need to tell you, don't worry, they were just about to die anyway, which undermines the idea that the vaccine might have killed them. But simultaneously, it at least makes the argument that they're giving the vaccine to people that are about to die. And that makes no sense whatsoever with anything else they're saying. But who cares about the truth? Put your head down and do what you're told.
Goes on to say, it's not expected that these common adverse reactions following immunization will be of significance in the vast majority of individuals with the Pfizer vaccine. But Pfizer is considered critical to Australia's vaccine rollout strategy. It's expected to be one of the first to be rolled out here.
Okay, so here's another point. So all those terrible things we said are relevant because Pfizer's important to us. Right? That's the point. Well, Pfizer is just that important to our vaccine rollout. So wait a minute. The vaccine rollout as a concept is more important than the dangers that rollout might be causing? Yes. So they're defending the idea of the vaccine rollout, because if you argue against that, well, you're an anti-vaxxer. You're a conspiracy theorist. So no, we're not doing that. The vaccines will go forward no matter what. We just need to find out how dangerous. I mean, this is how alarming this is. These people are completely lost or lying to you.
In Australia with 10 million doses on order. The TGA now saying that they may immunisation will be of significance in the vast majority of individuals with the Pfizer vaccine. But Pfizer is considered critical to Australia's vaccine rollout strategy. It's expected to be one of the first to be rolled out here in Australia with 10 million doses on order. The TGA now saying that they may need to include a warning on the label for the Pfizer vaccine for people who are frail or who are terminally ill. But given
So now we need to put a warning that says if you have anything, you might die from this. But we're not sure yet. And we're going to tell you off the bat that it probably isn't. And Australia is going to take all these doses because it's important to Australia, despite the fact that we're investigating whether this is dangerous. Because vaccine rollout program is the agenda and that's all that matters. But we'll continue to report things we can't prove and then never follow up on what's going on. How does anybody believe this stuff? I mean, it's just, I mean, we have been dumbed down to such a degree that people are children. I mean, if you're watching this and believing what's going on and believing that that makes sense, I don't know how we can help you. I'll keep trying though, no matter what.
TGA now saying that they may need to include a warning on the label for the Pfizer vaccine for people who are frail or who are terminally ill. But given the fact that aged care residents, Pete, are amongst the first to get this vaccine, if it is approved, you can understand why there's a level of caution.
Yeah, so we're giving it to those people first. And we're already going to do that, though. It's already planned. It's already being paid for. It's already rolling out. And they're already talking about maybe putting a label on it that says that those people might be the ones at most risk. But we're going to do it anyway because the vaccine rollout's important to Australia. That's the summation of what she just did right there. And that's crazy. I mean, I really want people who disagree with this to think about that logic in any other context. Any other medicine, and they're telling you, well, we don't know whether this could kill your family, but go ahead and take it, though, because we think it's important to our rollout for this medicine. It's just staggering. I really don't understand how people can walk away believing this stuff, or at least considering that she's even trying to be honest. Well, here is what we're seeing from actual honest people, or at least people that are saying what's true in this moment, and it might be for a larger agenda. Because remember, that also happens. They will come out and say things that they want, that you want to hear, with the effort to guide you into a specific point, right? It's always how this works. Doesn't mean you shouldn't report or point out what's being stated, right? So what this is, RFK Jr. is pointing out, California's top epidemiologist issued a statement Sunday evening recommending a pause on the use of a huge batch of Moderna's COVID vaccine due to its, quote, higher than usual number of possible allergic reactions. That is something that they are actively, they're telling you isn't true. They're acting like conspiracy theorists are blowing this out of proportion. Here is a top epidemiologist in California telling you that that's what she's saying we should do. Is she suddenly a fringe conspiracy theorist? Is she still a hero in your mindset? Oh, she's no longer a hero now because she says different things than you believe in? Or I thought she was a hero because of her job. Oh, who cares? She's only a hero when she says what you think you should be saying. And by the way, here's this person down here says, you in danger with your words. This is the kind of social engineering that we are battling against. Do you realize what she's telling you? She's saying that your words, even if they're true, Because all she is, he's literally quoting and reporting what she said as a top epidemiologist. And she says that that's dangerous? Yes, to them, the truth is dangerous. She wouldn't say it like that, but that's the truth. Not even arguing that what she's saying is the truth, but the truth is that she said that, and she has the credentials to say it, and she has the standing to speak on things like this. So he reports it, and she says that's dangerous. That is a microcosm of everything that's happening right now. The media that deals with the independent media, that's how that works. The truth about vaccines is not reported because it causes vaccine hesitancy. That's their own concept. But here's the actual statement. California state epidemiologist statement recommending providers pause the administration of single lot of Moderna COVID vaccine. California state epidemiologist Dr. Erica S. Pan issues the following statement today. This was on the 17th. Recommending providers pause the administration of Moderna's vaccine due to possible allergic reactions that are under investigation. That is what a real doctor does. That's what an honest person does. It doesn't matter what the agenda is or how dangerous you say this is or blah, blah, blah. If you're concerned that that's hurting people and you don't know for sure, you pause it. You investigate. I mean, for crying out loud, again, I'm not arguing vaccines should be taking this right now, but even in their narrative, there's other kinds of them, right? So the idea that they would even quibble about pausing and investigating about one that's having problems, the truth is they're all having the same problem. So that's why they're not doing it. But the point is that this is what's supposed to happen. And all they can say is because we're in the worst pandemic of a century, which none of the data supports, that this dangerous thing or this lack of safety control measures is okay because we're in danger. So doing something dangerous for your safety. Got it. But it says our goal is to provide the COVID vaccine safely, swiftly, and equitably. A higher than usual number of possible allergic reactions were reported with a specific lot of Moderna vaccine administered at one community vaccination clinic. Fewer than 10 individuals required medical attention over the span of 24 hours. Out of an extreme abundance of caution and also recognizing the extremely limited supply of vaccine, we are recommending that providers use the other available vaccine inventory and pause the administration of vaccines from Moderna. Now that I want to make sure I read that to you so it's not me showing, you know, making this out. This is the case is she's not saying that we should stop or even saying that these things are dangerous, right? The point is she's saying the truth. That even the mainstream is refusing to admit that there is obviously a higher than usual number of possible allergic reactions. Because yes, they're being reported. And even I can admit that I can't prove what what people are reporting on VAERS is in fact what's happening. But an honest person that is caring about your safety would do what she is doing. But they're going to probably attack her even for saying that. But at the end of the day, they're trying to align everything with this. I mean, in some really stupid ways too. Here's the Mail Online. Hiccups, tinnitus, and stammering are bizarre signs of COVID as well. Say doctors. Okay. So say doctors. Don't you love that? That's okay. So say doctors. And you don't even really need to get into who said it or why. You just need to float the idea that some doctor somewhere said that. But I thought that if doctors said what we are talking about, they're fake news conspiracy theorists. So just by doctor doesn't even mean what they want it to mean anymore. But you understand it's their doctor. Oh, so it must be true. A constant cough, high temperature, thumping headache, and a sudden loss of smell or taste are all common symptoms of COVID. And by the way, I don't even know if that's true. I think that's something that we've been told. I wonder whether people are even dealing with, I mean, there's so, everything about this should be questioned right now based on how often they've been shown to be lying to us. But what is now clear is that the virus can actually affect the body from head to toe. That's not clear. Like what's crazy is that's clear to them. And that's not based on science. That's based on what some doctors are saying might be the case. And that's even what they're reporting. But when they start out, they're saying, but now it's clear that what they're suggesting might be the case is happening. This is what passes for journalism today. Many people complain of confusion and an inability to concentrate while chilblain-like lesions, so like on your feet or your hands or like these basically lesions, dubbed COVID toe, not a joke. By the way, what I'm talking about, your toe hurts. How long have I been saying that? Are a frequent manifestation according to medical reports. Which ones? How many of them? To what degree? From what institutions? Oh, who cares? Just some medical report somewhere. Who cares about those? Listen to what we're telling you, though. And some cases are truly bizarre. Take, for example, a 33-year-old woman from a French city of Strasbourg who was rushed to the hospital last year after being found naked in the basement of a building, complaining of hearing voices when there was nobody with her. She had no history of mental illness, and her vital signs, such as a heart rate and blood pressure, were fine. But her speech was incoherent, and she was convinced the hospital's a castle. With no signs of a cough, fever, breathlessness, or tummy upset, she ticked none of the boxes for COVID, yet she tested positive. Okay, so she was crazy, and they gave her a PCR test, and it said she had this thing that the PCR test says everybody seems to have, and they say, well, then it must be COVID. That is the critical thinking, the deductive logic of our medical establishment today. Everything can point in every other direction, but as long as the PCR test says she has COVID, well, suddenly all those other symptoms are COVID symptoms now. Very logical. In a report on the case, Dr. Said the virus had invaded her central nervous system and caused multiple neurological and psychiatric consequences. She was stabilized with antipsychotic medicine and later discharged. So she left after giving antipsychotics, and she's supposed to have COVID, though? Is she in danger? Is she going to be spreading it? Is she sick? Isn't this the most dangerous pandemic in a century? But no, we gave her antipsychotics and let her go. Thought to be due to inflammation in the brain. Oh, doesn't that sound interestingly familiar? Inflammation of the brain? Isn't that what we're seeing on these side effects all over the place from all these vaccines? Yes. So my first question, if maybe you guys can find out, is because this basically, here's the actual study. I had to hunt this down, by the way. This is, and here, by the way, it doesn't, weirdly enough, doesn't even list the date. I had to find the actual page. It was, this is the Caspian Journal of Internal Medicine. Same study you can see right here. It's psychiatric manifestations, but I had to find it down here that it was published on October 19th, 2020. So I wonder, did she get the vaccine? Certainly possible, right? This thing, I mean, the vaccines were being tested and used back in, you know, mid-2020. I mean, Moderna was already planning to start testing this thing in like January 23rd, like a few days after they had gotten what they claimed was some kind of isolated thing from China. So did she get the vaccine? Just a possible question. And could have that been responsible for what we're dealing with here, as well as why she might have been testing positive, as well as plenty of things we've been talking about, and caused inflammation in the brain, like we've seen a lot of people with side effects from the vaccine. Just a thought. I'd love to find out if that's the case. Nonetheless, it's at a time when these vaccines are being given. And this is a genetically modifying experimental injection. So who knows what it's doing to the population? That is something you get censored for today, but that's a valid thing to say. Who the hell knows? Doesn't seem like they do. Surprisingly, speech appears to be one of the first things that can be affected by the virus, albeit rarely. I was like, what? I had to read that sentence three times. Okay, so they're saying, surprisingly, speech appears to be the first thing that can be affected, but it's rarely though. So how do we know it's the first thing to be affected if it rarely happens? I mean, that's really stupid, don't you think? Like, so, I mean, you could argue that in those rare cases, it seemed to be the first thing that they claimed they dealt with. But if it's rare, you have no base of evaluation. It's just flimsy. I mean, this is everything we're seeing today. Overnight, she had developed a severe stammer. That meant she struggled to get out any words. The condition lasted more than a week, and after she tested positive. So she's not really sick of anything after a week later, but she's still stammering. And that's COVID, though. A week later, when she's supposed to be developing all these symptoms of this very serious disease, but it's COVID though. Again, doctors suspect the virus managed to cross into her central nervous system, where it attacked the brain cells responsible for controlling speech. Also consider like the blood-brain barrier discussion with the things, the testing and all the stuff we've talked about. Even hiccups could be a sign that the virus has gotten into your body. Oh, so even hiccups now. According to the latest report in July in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine by doctors from Cook County Hospital in Chicago. Very specific. So this one group says hiccups might happen for COVID, and then that's just now being reported. They treat a 62-year-old man who had been hiccuping for 4 days, but showed no other signs of illness. I'm not kidding. When they took an X-ray and CT scan of his chest, get this, they found the characteristic signs of COVID-19. Tiny white patches that look like ground glass scattered around the lungs. What? Now, we've brought this up 100 times. All of a sudden, ground glass opacity comes back as one of these characteristic signs? What? How, did this just pop out of nowhere? No one has talked about this since the beginning. And I argue why is because there's a lot of suspect things that tie to the ground glass opacity, such as the fact that people who had this so-called vaping illness, all, you know, within reasonable distance of Fort Detrick, also all had ground glass opacity. So if this is a characteristic sign of COVID-19, why don't we realize that that weird thing that was happening might not be vaping? Or such as the people on, you know, the across the state line who supposedly had a cold outbreak at a nursing home also had ground glass opacity. All of these right within close distance of Fort Detrick. I just found it very weird that all of a sudden ground glass opacity became nothing even talked about anymore until all of a sudden I found it in this article. Isn't that interesting? Nonetheless, we're talking about that suddenly being a thing that deems him having COVID-19, despite him having no other symptoms and just having hiccups. Other scientific reports talk about sudden hair loss, ringing in the ears, double vision, even trouble passing urine as possible signs. I mean, they're just saying possible signs. They don't even know this stuff. And they're do you realize what they just listed off is like literally everything all the time? Anything. Your ears ringing, your double, your ear, eyes feel funny, you're losing hair, your toes hurt, you hiccuping, you can't breathe, you can't talk. I mean, anything. I mean, you couldn't even name a symptom these days without there being an article somewhere that says it might be a COVID symptom. But this is science, though. Trust the science, guys. Why would a virus whose main route of entry is through the mouth and nose and eyes trigger such bizarre symptoms elsewhere in the body? Well, let's see what they've got to put out. Scientists think it may be because of the ACE2 receptor, a target which the virus aims for when it's trying to break into healthy cells so it can use them to reproduce, is found everywhere from the brain, stomach and lungs to the skin, bone marrow and kidneys. So this ACE2 receptor is everywhere. So that they say that might be why it's affecting everything. Interesting. Nonetheless, this seems wildly flimsy based on a bunch of hypothetical assumptions. But here, I don't think I really need to read through this, actually. I think, one of these points was, this is the actual study of that woman. A 33-year-old woman was admitted to the emergency department with a one-day history of auditory hallucinations. So the idea that they're claiming that she had no history of mental illness, that doesn't necessarily mean that people can't suddenly become schizophrenic. That's the point. Schizophrenia happens because of severe events in your life or any number of things or other things other than schizophrenia. But to be just because there's no history of mental illness and we give a PCR test with a possibly 95% false positive, according to Dr. Scoglio, PhD, now it must be COVID. Throw out everything else that doesn't add up, and just because that test says so, COVID. Just like the epidemic that wasn't in 2007. They had nothing else except the PCR test and their observations, and they said, well, it must be whooping cough. 8 months later, it turns out nothing actually happened. But it says, unusual behavior, changes in her sleeping habits, and incoherent speech. No other symptoms were reported. Nothing. Blood examinations confirmed high elevated white cell count and C-reactive protein. The head CT scan was normal, but again, the chest scan showed right ground glass opacities in the lower zones. The oropharyngeal swab was positive for SARS-CoV-2. Based on these results, we're talking about PCR, that's PCR. Based on these results, the diagnosis of SARS-CoV-2 infection was retained. The patient received no specific treatment for SARS-CoV-2. Why does that even make sense? So you're supposed to be in the biggest pandemic of a lifetime and she's not even, all you do is give her things to treat her schizophrenia? The additional dose of olanzapine, 10 milligrams daily, was initiated, prescribed, but the patient was back to her usual self, 14 days of hospital admission, leading to its discontinuation. No other symptoms 14 days, but it was COVID though, we're certain, because the test told us so. Of course, the clinical course was consistent with the first episode of psychosis triggered by SARS-CoV-2. So because they've already deemed this a case in the past with similar flimsy provable points, they're saying, well, it's consistent with other things we already didn't prove. Neuroinflammation owing to SARS-CoV-2 infection could be responsible. So that's interesting. This idea that this is causing like neurological diseases now. That does not sound like a virus. That sounds like some kind of genetic manipulation. Just my take. So neuroinflammation, like we're seeing from these vaccines, by the way, owing to SARS-CoV-2 infection, as they're assuming, could be responsible for a wide and unknown spectrum of psychiatric manifestations. So they're guessing. Could be. And we don't even know if the neuroinflammation is in fact caused by whatever they're telling us this is. During the pandemic, special attention should be given to patients with no previous history of psychiatric. So they're laying the groundwork for if you end up being crazy, whether that's something we're inducing or not, whether lockdowns are inducing that or not, we're going to say you probably have COVID because you're crazy and have no history of being crazy. Scientific. Science. But here's an article written by Whitney, I hope you'll check out, as I've shared it many times. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. I want to point this out. She was way ahead of this conversation at the time. Actually, was tentative even putting this in the article because it hadn't been fleshed out yet, which just shows you how good she is at her job. In addition, and by the way, so we can see this was January 30th, 2020. In addition, one preliminary study on the coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak found that a receptor that stands for ACE2 is not only the same as those used by SARS coronavirus, I find that to be incredibly relevant, but that East Asians present a much higher ratio of lung cells that express that receptor than the other ethnicities. Included in the study. However, such findings are preliminary and the sample size is too small to draw definitive conclusions from that preliminary data. January 30th, she's writing this. January 30th, she's pointing out a huge part of the narrative. But the point is the ACE2 receptor is the same used as by the SARS coronavirus. So we're talking about SARS-CoV-2. The argument, you know, nonetheless, is that this is something that's adapted, but recognize that this is what would happen if you were using gain-of-function research. If you were trying to make this more virulent, you would take the thing that your body is most adaptable to, whether SARS, by the way, I believe is also something like this that's been manipulated, and you make it to where that would be the focal point. Just an observation. So as we're going forward, realize that that's an interesting tie-in where we're talking about they're arguing that the ACE2 receptor is literally why it's somehow able to now give you neurological problems. Again, don't think that sounds like something organic. And on that note, in general, here's another continual. This made me laugh. And I'm going to follow up on this as more comes out. Right now, I believe this is just the State Department saying they've got stuff. But the U.S. report into COVID origins expected to say Chinese grew dangerous coronaviruses in Wuhan, which is just ridiculous. As I said, well, of course they did. That's not even news. I have no doubt they will leave out the part where China was doing so with U.S. government funding and with U.S. government research, U.S. government biomaterial, and even U.S. government assistance, because that's not relevant, right? Like, think about how crazy that is. They're actually arguing that, well, China was doing the thing that we were all talking about in the very beginning of this. It's as if they forgot we were already talking about this. Obviously. They were doing gain-of-function research with U.S. alignment, with material from North Carolina University, funding from the NIAID and NIH. Yes, it's all obvious. They're still doing that, by the way, with multiple Chinese groups, but they don't talk about it. But if we can pretend like, well, they did it and we know we weren't, it must be them, it's just stupid. The evidence is all there. All they hope is that you just listen to them instead of looking at the evidence. I do believe that China played a role in what we're talking about here to some degree. But if anything happened from that lab of any kind, like they're suggesting, both the U.S. government and China are equally accountable or equally, what's the word I'm looking for? Suspect. Equally so. I don't care if it's in Wuhan or not. The point is that was a lab set up by France, funded and driven with the research by the U.S. government in every possible way. They outsourced their research there. So this is a U.S. government project, but the point is that it's equal. But that's not how they're going to report it. But all of this stuff is why a lot of nursing and medical professionals are refusing to take it, and in this case, refusing to give it. This is what a hero looks like. Now, look, I'm not even arguing that's because you agree with what she's doing, but this is what an actual hero looks like. Somebody who is willing to sacrifice their own livelihood, their own freedom and money for what they truly believe in. Standing up for COVID right now and being a nurse to, you know, and going along with the narrative, that's not brave. You're doing what's popular. I'm not talking about specifically risking your life in potential medically dangerous situations. That's another thing. And anybody who's willing to even think they're risking their life to help other people, yes, I would argue that's a hero. But in this sense, what I'm talking about is in anybody who is willing to do what is unpopular because they believe it's right, that's somebody who's a good, I would argue, a good person. Somebody who's willing to do it for the right reasons. People out there right now who are standing up for wearing masks, that you're not a hero. That's easy. That's what that's what the media and the establishment wants from you. So you'll get a pat on the head. She is a hero. And here, as I said, Kansas, basically only so many can be called crazy conspiracy theorists, guys. At what point, dang it, I hate when I see my own typos. At what point do we have to, and by the way, that almost never happens on my articles, and if it does, please tell me, or our articles on TLAV, usually on Twitter, but it says, at some point, we have to reflect on just how many health professionals are outright refusing this. We have to. I mean, they refuse. No one is doing that. I've seen reports of upwards of 72% in some places where they're just saying, we're not even touching this thing. Can we still pretend that's all a bunch of fringe conspiracy theorists, anti-science maniacs? Really? So 72% of our medical professionals are crazy? At some point, you have to recognize what's happening. And this is what they're now calling for, which almost made me fall out of my chair. I couldn't believe this was actually happening. COVID-19. Protect us from unlawful killing charges, medics. Now, of course, nobody can argue that they should be able to be charged with unlawful killing charges. I mean, that's the way this is being framed from the BBC. But what they're calling for is protection from killing charges. That's what they're calling for. So as they already have indemnity, or they have liability they already have immunity from liability already with all these vaccines, with all their actions, even people delivering them. I mean, this is getting crazy where you just cannot be held responsible for anything that's happening. Now they're saying, well, in the process of that, in the treatment of all this, we now want to be removed from even that. As somebody pointed out in a tweet, I mean, not even the police asked for that. But here we are. They want to be removed from being charged with killing somebody in the midst of I argue this is stemming from probably people that realize what they're doing is not sound. That these are people that are willing to go along with it, like the nurse we showed you that was resisting it, but still talked to the nurse and she said, I mean, here, like, by the way, I have it. Might as well just play it real quick. An important one. And this is a nurse telling you what seems to be coming.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients, and that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me. And she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.
Good for her. Right? I mean, again, that's dangerous, you know, like that you could lose your job. So standing up for what you believe in, that takes courage. But the point is, there's a lot of very weird things happening right now. And people like that, I would argue, are probably really afraid that they're going to be charged with some kind of a justifiable charge, because they're still, even though they know that they're suspect of what's happening, they're still going along with it because they need to get paid, they have a family, and so on. Which I'm not, you know, I'd like to believe that people would, you know, it's a hard position. Somebody who has family and obligations, especially in a time right now where they're barely struggling to feed their family, it's a hard thing to argue, say that they should quit the military or quit, you know, things that we would always argue. Personally, I could never work for something that was doing like that. I just couldn't. But I don't have a family around me to support in that way. So, you know, it's a hard situation. But there, I would argue there's people like her that are probably concerned that they might get charged because they know they're doing something wrong. But on the other side of it, you got people that just want to be able to do what they want. And I argue this might be stemming from something higher up. How can we be in a position where they're not accountable for anything anymore? Anything. I mean, right now, before we even got here, medical treatment in this country was like the third leading cause of death. And we're going to give them just indemnity for just complete immunity. It's crazy. Doctors and nurses need protection from prosecution over COVID-19 treatment decisions made under pressure of the pandemic, they say. Medical bodies have said. Oh, okay, so this is, you know, the people, exactly what I thought. Groups including the British Medical Association have written to ministers saying medical workers fear they could be at risk. Now, are they fearing that? Or is that what you want to happen? So you're saying they fear that? Something to ask. It comes as UK's chief medical officers said the NHS could be overwhelmed in weeks. Wait, I thought that was already happening, though. And remember that we already showed you that that's actually not accurate, that there's a lot of reasons that they're, I mean, a lot of these hospitals, by the way, and we're going to get into lockdown in a minute, have a whole bunch of extra, or the idea that they're being overrun, it's a problem that, by the way, could have been dealt with before now, didn't. As well as could have still be dealt with in this moment, but it's not. And all they're pretending is they've got so many beds in this one area and everything else is shut down. So when those beds fill up, that we're overwhelmed. And people don't realize that that means a small amount, not a large amount of beds. But they'll tell you the hospital's overwhelmed, and that's all the picture you get. So what they're telling you is that when they're overwhelmed, which, by the way, is a suggestion that means that there's too many people there for them to deal with, which could be the case. But if that is the case, and we've been at this for 9 months, 10 months, why have they not done something about that? Because this is all part of the agenda. This works for them. Right? This is about making sure you feel like you're in danger and that you're all overwhelmed. It's about creating the false scarcity, creating the illusion of danger, creating all of this. Oh, and guess who the byproduct is? You. Your life and your danger. They don't care about that. They'll use it as much as they can. The government said staff should not fear legal action. Why should you not fear legal action? I mean, realize, take that sentence in. Of course they should feel legal. If you're doing things where you're accountable for your actions, I wouldn't frame it like you should fear legal action, but you should be ready for accountability. They're literally saying we don't want accountability. And look, I don't care what you think, that will affect people's actions. If it comes down to things in the wire, that will be something that plays in their decision-making process, no matter what you say. With the chief medical officers now determining that there is a material risk of the NHS being overwhelmed within weeks, and I guess they're psychic again, they know all this stuff, right? Just like she was saying, like the doctor, the woman we just heard, they know it's coming. I mean, even when they argued when they had all the case demic, when that was just still happening, but that time when they were all the cases, all they were reporting on is the cases, that went on for like a month and a half or even more. I think it was a couple of months. And then there was a spike in deaths, which I believe we clearly see that aligns with the combination of pneumonia and flu. It aligns with the increase of the lockdowns. It aligns with the increase of a lot of stuff, which we'll get into even more. But the point is, there was that huge gap where there was nothing that followed it. So it's not like we can argue that there was a spike in cases, so we can argue in 2 weeks there's going to be a spike in deaths. Clearly that didn't happen. But somehow they know in a couple of weeks we're going to be there. It's all about justifying what they want. Their members are worried that not only do they face being put in this position, but also that they could subsequently be vulnerable to criminal investigation. Again, and why is that not okay? If they break the law, they should be held accountable. You don't get to say, well, I was busy, so I hurt that person and I'm not at fault. I mean, that's like the police saying that they were overwhelmed with jobs to do, so when I murdered that guy, I was busy. So come on, you can't charge me for that. The idea that we should be removing this stuff, same with police, is an illusion. Don't get in the job field if you don't want to have that responsibility. That's how that goes. And there are always protections that are already in place. These are reasonable accountability, reasonable protections, or reasonable, you get the point. It says it calls for emergency legislation to protect doctors and nurses from, quote, inappropriate legal action when dealing with circumstances outside of the control. Okay, so who decides what's inappropriate? It's irrelevant. It'll either not be about inappropriate. It'll just say indemnity or immunity. But if they say inappropriate, that's a decision made by the people that we're talking about. Who do you think that's going to err on? Their side. And it says, they said the change in law should be temporary and should apply retrospectively. So basically, it should start now and it will be temporary, you know, like the Patriot Act, just temporary for the rest of your life. And then we'll retroactively say, oh, all the way back to the beginning. Right? So all those horrible things that already happened, we're going to pretend like they're not accountable already. Like the ventilators and the actions they're taking, which they know better, but do anyway because they're just mindless order followers. That's the point. Those people should be held accountable. Medical staff in the NHS are protected financially from clinical negligence claims by indemnity schemes where the state pays the cost of claims. So the point is, it's already there. But if someone dies as a result of a lack of treatment, doctors and nurses fear prosecution. Well, they should. The argument they're claiming is that if they're so spread thin that somebody dies, that they shouldn't be held accountable. Like that's, I mean, the point is they want to say this is a temporary thing because of the pandemic, but we're not actually even that's not what's happening. All you're going to effectively do is remove accountability from people that are working on people in danger. That's alarming. Earlier this month, a survey of the MPs of 2,420 of the members found that 61% were concerned about facing an investigation following a decision made in a high-pressure situation. So because they're afraid of being held accountable for things they're doing when they're on the line, we should remove that accountability? Why does that make sense at all? NHS staff have been told that existing indemnity arrangements will continue and will cover the vast majority of liabilities. So that's already the case, but we want more, though. Understand that. Existing indemnity arrangements will continue and will cover the vast majority of liabilities, but they want complete, far-reaching, absolute immunity. And probably going to happen because of our medical cabal that we live in, this biosecurity state that they're building. Or rather, have built. But I want to just point out again the absurdity of saying that our stuff is okay. Our rushed vaccines, which that I argue is the main focal point of what we're doing, that's they're removing that concept. It doesn't matter how bad this gets, that they're not responsible. But that they're willing to say, oh my gosh, look at India and their rushed vaccine for approval. Look at how shocked we are. And as I already pointed out, oh my God, how stupid they are in Russia for their rushed vaccine. I mean, they have no self-aware. I mean, it's incredible that they can, but this one was before this was August, right? But this one, I believe, was, let's see, January 4th, right? So here we are saying, look at how stupid India is rushing out their experimental vaccine while we're literally doing that. But because we just frame it differently, it's okay that we do it because we're doing it for good stuff, because we're freedom and liberty. Right? It's just the same nonsensical. They're rushing it too, is the point. They are rushing it based on every sense of the word rushed. But it's good when we do it, though. But India and Russia, because we don't like what they're doing because it's competing with our agenda. Oh, bad, bad, rushed and dangerous. We are a country of children if we can fall for something like that. And on top of that, we have to recognize that the flu vaccine will increase your risk. And it is also being pushed. Can the flu vaccine increase COVID risk? Actually, before I even do that, I wanted to show this part. As Neil Clark points out, I wonder what's happened to the flu. And I showed you this before. Flu stats from the WHO. Great news. It's no more. So dumb. Yeah, it just disappeared. It's gone. The flu doesn't exist anymore. Here's what Freddie Johnson has to say, because he's really intelligent. It's simple. It's pretty simple. Social distancing and mask wearing has dramatically reduced transmission of flu. There's no great mystery. Oh, because he works with them? No, he's just repeating what he was told, because that's really scientific. But he says, but if that is true, how can people who don't wear masks and don't social distance be blamed for increasing coronavirus? Yeah, obviously the guy doesn't follow up, because the point is, he suddenly goes, his head probably exploded when you gave him that reality, right? Or he just was like, you're misrepresenting the facts, conspiracy theorist. The point is, guys, it's obvious what's happening. They're combining the flu, and they state this right on the CDC, with COVID deaths. They're combining the flu. Look, if they can tell you flu's not there, yet you can see that flu is listed under COVID deaths, how does that make sense? Oh, because they're calling it a secondary flu that only exists because COVID is here. But that's why flu's nowhere else. You really have to be I mean, I don't even understand how a child could fall for this. It's gone. It's gone. And we're pretending like that's a successful effort. While out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying that COVID's out of control because of the same exact reasons in reverse. No one's wearing masks or distancing and party are going out after and it's causing all this. But that's why flu is gone, because they're following all those things at the exact same time. Oh my God, I didn't even realize this. Look at what Freddie Johnson is. He's an educationalist. Cool. I wonder why our children are struggling today. But to keep it all scaremongering and going forward, remember that new strain that we never even really proved? I would argue that their own group said we weren't sure if it was even more transmissible or more dangerous. And the WHO came out and said there's no evidence to suggest that this thing is more dangerous. Yeah, that same one. Well, the CDC's warning the highly transmissible, except that's the opposite of what they all said, coronavirus variant to become dominant. So they know that it's going to become dominant. I guess they're psychic, right? They're using the idea that we think they've got some of these. I mean, look, there is plenty of science and medicine that most people don't understand. But they're beginning to just predict what's happening and act as if that's because they can just read the data. So the only reason they would argue that this will become more dominant is because it would be highly transmissible or more dangerous. Except that's literally what they've said isn't the case. Even the nerve tag group said there's no evidence to suggest that this is more anything. And here we are. The highly contagious variant. By the way, now it's... Anyway, the highly contagious variant of the coronavirus first seen in the UK will become the dominant strain in the United States within about 2 weeks. So what are these people are apparently... Trying to think of the other word for that that I didn't use already. You know, but they're psychic, apparently. They're clairvoyant. That's the one I was looking for. They somehow know that in about 2 months, this will be the dominant strain. It's rapid spread, heightening the urgency of people getting vaccinated. Oh, or is that what they want us to think? So they're telling you should be more urgent now because it's more dangerous. The CDC and prevention predicted Friday in its most sobering warning yet about mutations in the virus. So they're saying that it's got to be the most dominant strain. So in 2 months, when it is all of a sudden, are we going to pretend that they just knew that because of the data that doesn't really support that? Or that somehow that's just what we're being told, or that they made it happen? I mean, it's ridiculous that we would assume the former based on that they just keep guessing based on data that doesn't even support it and somehow that they're right. But this is why. Based on this idea that it's always evolving. Oh, and by the way, before I even go forward with that, realize, as I keep showing you or telling you, that if this is some new variant, that would then make the previous vaccines moot. But they're telling you, no, we did a very quick assessment and it is fine. Just like they say with the flu vaccine, that's later like 2% effective, right? They do that every time. And they say, oh, take it anyway, because it's effective. Here they are after like a week later saying, no, we did a quick assessment and we're good. No. If this is even really happening the way they're telling us it is, this would mean, based off everything we've ever known before, that it's not actually effective. But they already made it, already spent billions, and clearly it's not even about getting both doses or even most of it. They just got to get it in your arm as quick as possible. But this, again, is why they're saying travel will never go back to normal. Right? Despite all those people going, just take the vaccine so we can go back to normal. Here is everybody telling you that we're not going back to normal, but they'll still keep telling you, just take it so we can go back to normal. This is the CEO of Airbnb. Like a company literally based on the concept of how we travel today. And they're saying we're never going back to normal. That's because of the narrative and everything else they're floating, that this has always been the case. We are always going to be here. This is the new normal. I don't know why some people can't get that through their heads. That's not what I want. That is what's happening. The CDC says the vaccine doesn't mean you're protected. You still have to wear a mask, huh? It's like, so what I don't understand is why Dr. Urso didn't already know that. I've been reporting that since, what, mid-2020? Based on the actual documentation of their interim analysis of their so-called safety trials? How does Dr. Urso not already know that? Now, maybe he does. Maybe he's just doing that to make a point. But I shouldn't point him out. There's plenty of other doctors out there who are acting like this is brand new. I mean, Zero Hedge reported it the other day when WHO said it. And they were like, breaking news! And it's like, everybody who has been paying attention has been reporting this for months. The media is just now squeaking it out because it's they have to eventually admit it. Even as most people who only watch mainstream still think right now that the masks will go away and everything will go back to normal as soon as they get the vaccine. The CDC is telling you, as more COVID-19 vaccines become available, more groups of people will be able to get vaccinated. Even after getting vaccinated, continue to wear a mask over your mouth and nose. Stay 6 feet apart. Avoid crowds and wash your hands. So basically, everything stays the same. Your new normal will be forever because danger COVID. Because it'll come back next year and we'll have another vaccine then. But the new mask and your distancing, that's just the way the world is now. And that's not even a hypothetical. Numerous people from these entities have already basically said exactly that. And that's what this is. Should you never wear a face mask after getting COVID-19 vaccine? 5 reasons why the answer is yes. Now, these are all just about whether you should continue to do it after the vaccine. My very last show, I showed you two examples from mainstream where they were saying that lockdowns and then alternatively masks will be forever. I believe it was the BBC in another article. They're saying, look, lockdowns are forever. This is your new future. And they're saying, or rather they use the term indefinite with lockdowns, but the masks are saying you will be wearing a mask forever. As I said every time, if you knew this would never end, would you still comply? I would argue most people would say no. All you got to do is pay attention, guys. Here's why vaccinated people still need to wear a mask. But here's an interesting one, with German foreign minister saying that vaccinated people should be exempt from COVID restrictions, which this is the point we're trying to make. And by the way, you'll see the same arguments like this come out of the same people. The same people will later make this argument. And here's why this is the point I'm making as why they contradict their previous lies. Because they need you to think out of one side of their mouth that if you get the vaccine, you'll get something back, right? You can sort of go back to normal. And that's what this article painfully does. Should be exempt from some restrictions, right? But you'll see that it's very quickly everything you're thinking, mass law, it's all the same. But they want you to think this. So they float this idea. But then they come out the other side and say, but you have to keep doing all this stuff forever. I don't know why people who believe this stuff can't put them together and realize you're not going to get anything back. But here's what they're saying in Germany. German foreign minister has called for COVID restrictions for those who have been vaccinated to be relaxed. He's saying that they should get their rights back. So they're openly admitting that they took your rights from you, something that they would have said couldn't happen before this started. Why can't we put this stuff together? He says in an interview with German tabloid, he proposed allowing vaccinated Germans to go back to normal, arguing if they're only vaccinated people in a restaurant or cinema, they can no longer endanger each other. But wait a minute, that is totally false. That's the diametric opposite of what Pfizer said, what Moderna said, what anybody is saying. I mean, we just showed you how all of them are saying, no, 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 you still got to do all this stuff because I've shown you that it will not stop transmission. I mean, just when you're done, just quickly search it and search, will the vaccine stop transmission? And you'll get a bunch of waffling answers, but every one of them will come to the conclusion either that they don't know or that it doesn't. The truth is that it doesn't. And they showed you that right in the beginning because they didn't even try to. But he says vaccinated people should be able to exercise their basic rights again. You mean your basic rights that they removed from you based on lies and deception? Yes. Oh, you mean those basic rights that shouldn't be able to be removed? Yes. But they're going to give them back to you, though, even though you still have to wear a mask and you still have to listen and still have to lock down and so on. They have the right to reopen their businesses at some point when there is a possibility. That's called giving your rights back. And it will come if more and more people get vaccinated. So this is about pretending you get things. So everybody rushes in and then they go, well, we still at danger though. So we just a few more and we'll get it then. And it goes on and on and on. Mass acknowledgement that granting more rights as if the government has the ability to grant or remove rights. To the granting to more rights to vaccinated than those who still are waiting to receive the shot will result in equality. Or how about the idea that people that will refuse to ever get it because they have a right to do so will literally be treated as lesser than people. They won't be able to do things. They don't care about those people. Those people are crazy and dangerous. We care about the people that are patiently waiting in line for theirs and they're not getting things yet. Do you realize how they don't care about people that are and I don't know what's the right word for it, that are doing what their rights allow them to do, or their rights outline that they can do, which is not accepting a medical treatment. You could say no, but they act like they don't matter. And here's a great article from Whitney Webb that I briefly touched on the point of this the other day in regard to the Microsoft Oracle passport that's being built. But I recommend you read this, but this is where it's all going. This is how it's going to go forward. And if you don't get the vaccine, you won't be able to engage in society. This is your future. It's already here. And they're still pretending like this is fake news. Silicon Valley and World Economic Forum-backed foundation announced global initiative for COVID vaccine records. They've been trying to create a global passport, a global ID, a global security system, surveillance system forever. And COVID-19, with a little combination of capital violence and boom, and you got a perfect explanation to do whatever you want, at least as they would tell you. And here's the example we're talking about, COVID passports, a freedom certificate. That's like the equivalent of Patriot Act. The freedom certificate that allows you things if you do what you're told. That's disgusting. That may get the world traveling again. It says the rest of the world is already looking forward to a happier future of unrestricted travel for those who have received their vaccines. Right, but we're crazy though. Don't forget it though. Vaccine passports and the idea that you'll be restricted if you don't get the vaccine, you're just a crazy conspiracy theorist. But let's read that again. The world's looking forward to a happier future of unrestricted travel for those who've had their vaccines. So you flip it around and they're telling you, you will have restricted travel if you don't get your vaccine. Basic language, guys. But I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist. When the idea of coronavirus immunity passports, like it's quoted, like this new thing that they've been building those for a decade. New immunity passport was first raised in Downing Street last April. They are flat out lying. That was raised in regard to COVID-19, but the concept of a vaccine passport has been brought up way before that. Many scientists expressed caution at schemes that might exempt recipients from lockdown measures. It was partly because little was then known about the strength and duration of the immunity conferred by exposure to the virus. Oops, they just accidentally admitted that you couldn't get immunity from exposing to the virus. The same thing that they are kind of waffling on now, but they just screamed at us and said, only vaccines can do that. We know that was a lie. I don't know why we're listening to anything else they say if we already know that was a lie. There was also serious doubts about the discriminatory effects of dividing the nation into those presumed to be immune and those still vulnerable, the infected and the uninfected, the jabbed and the unjabbed. And then they go on to be like, but who cares? Because freedom. That's the point. But to finish up here with the last segment, which could go on for a while, is the huge study about lockdowns. And this is a really, really important one. This is, as it says, undergone full peer review, which is important. Assessing mandatory stay-at-home and business closure effects on the spread of COVID-19. This is this is one more in a combination of a lot of research, multiple studies. So for those new to the show, let's say, or, you know, whatever, take this in conjunction with everything else. As people tend to do, they go want piece to piece. And we act like this one thing is the one bombshell that proves it all. And it's like, no, this is one piece in a larger discussion. But I would argue this does very clearly find their conclusion that will go against the mainstream narrative. But this, in combination with all the others that also find that, it becomes very hard to ignore. But as it says, the results. Oh, basically, their point is to find. Actually, I will read this because of the acronyms. The most restrictive non-pharmaceutical intervention, or NPI, for controlling the spread of COVID-19 are mandatory stay-at-home and business closures. Given the consequences of these policies, it is important to assess their effects, right? So by the way, the consequences are a given because that is undeniable, but even that is being dismissed by people on Twitter, debating about whether there's anything being caused by the COVID. It's ignorant. But understand, and they go through it in the study, you can see very clearly, this is verified. The consequences of these lockdowns are very clear. So that's why they're evaluating whether the effects are worth it. That's the point. We evaluate the effects on epidemic case growth of more restrictive NPIs, or rather NR-NPIs, above and beyond those of less restrictive NPIs, or LR-NPIs. NPIs being non-pharmaceutical interventions, which I somehow can't seem to remember. Now, the results. Implementing any non-pharmaceutical intervention was associated with significant reductions in case growth in 9 out of 10 study countries, including South Korea, Sweden, that implemented only less restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions. Spain had only a non-significant effect. Now, that starts off by making, it almost sounds like it's going to go in the way that you think it might. But what they're saying is, it was associated with in these previous studies, but it says after subtracting the epidemic and less restrictive NPIs effect, we find no clear significant beneficial effect of more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions like lockdowns on case growth in any country. In France, the effect of more restrictive NPIs was plus 7% when compared with Sweden's plus 13% when compared with South Korea. Positive means pro-contagion, which, you know, not a good thing. And the 95% confidence intervals excluded 30% declines in all 16 comparisons and 15% declines in 11 of 16 comparisons. Now, here's the conclusion. While small benefits cannot be excluded, we do not find significant benefits on case growth, meaning reducing the case of COVID-19 of more restrictive NPIs, which is what most of these Western countries are doing now. Places like UK on stay-at-home orders, or Ontario. Similar reductions in case growth may be achievable with less restrictive interventions. Now, that doesn't even sound as powerful as what the actual study itself does say. Here's the study. Now, hopefully you'll read this for yourself as well. Here's the study in the discussion. Results, or wait, it was the discussion right here. It says, in the framework of this analysis, there is no evidence that more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions contributed substantially to bending the curve of the new cases in England, France, Germany, Iran, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, or the United States in early 2020. No evidence in this peer-reviewed study. Now understand, the less restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions are something like in Sweden, right? Where they are recommending that people lock, you know, basically not lock down, but people social distance and people wear masks, but they're not forcing people. So that's the argument. It's just saying that that's the idea of the more restrictive concept is what we're dealing with here. That's the kind of lockdown we're dealing with in the United States, dealing with in UK, dealing with in Australia and all these different places. They are doing serious lockdowns. And that's what the article makes clear, or the study. But it says, and again, just to read that again, there's no evidence that the restrictive measures like we're doing here had any effect on the cases in all of these places. I don't know why that's not groundbreaking. By comparison, the effectiveness of the non-pharmaceutical interventions on case growth rates in countries that implemented more restrictive measures with those that implemented less restrictive measures, the evidence points away from indicating that the more restrictive measures provided additional meaningful benefit above and beyond the less restrictive non-pharmaceutical intervention, like what Sweden is doing. That's important. While modest decreases in daily growth under 30% cannot be excluded in a few countries, the possibility of large decreases in daily growth due to the more restrictive interventions is incompatible with the accumulated data, meaning the data does not support that they're doing what they say that they're doing. Big surprise. That's exactly what I'm saying about everything. And that's the truth. And you can look at it for yourself, like we're doing right now. The direction of the effect size in most scenarios point towards an increase in the case growth rate. Let me say that again. The direction of the effect size in most scenarios points towards an increase in case growth rate, meaning that their actions actually increased the case rate, which is what we've been saying. Though these estimates are only distinguishable from zero in Spain, consistent with non-beneficial effects of lockdowns, only in Iran do the estimates consistently point to the direction of additional reduction in growth rate. Yet, that could be any country really, but just having one of them point to a reduction in growth rate could mean a lot of things, meaning that they could have done something different that the others didn't, and so on. That's why you're using the breadth of the data. Most of them, all but one, in fact, had the opposite. It says, yet those effects in Iran are statistically indistinguishable from zero, meaning that they showed a reduction, but not statistically significant, meaning it doesn't matter in regard to the study or in regard to what means something for your daily life. While it is hard to draw, and that's just the positives, understand. the side effects that are these lockdowns are causing are damaging, and that's the point of this study. So even if you're showing a moderate reduction in growth rate for cases, you're damaging your country in irrevocable ways. While it is hard to draw firm conclusions from these estimates, and remember, it's estimates nonetheless, they are consistent with a recent analysis that identified increased transmission in cases in Hunan, China during a period of stay-at-home orders from increased intra-household density and transmission. In other words, this is important, it is possible that stay-at-home orders may facilitate transmission if they increase person-to-person contact where transmission is efficient, such as closed spaces. And this is already what we're finding. New studies are coming out saying that, well, you're pushing people into homes together and basically making this push around. The point is, you look at places like Sweden, who are not forcing it, but telling people to be cautious, and that is better by this study's own findings. It says, our study builds on the findings of, actually, hold on, where was it? This last part right here. It says, we do not question the role of all public health interventions or of coordinated communications about the pandemic, but we fail to find an additional benefit of stay-at-home orders and business closures. The data, which was what matters, is which is what they're telling us to trust the data, trust the science, right? The data cannot fully exclude the possibility of some benefits. However, even if they exist, these benefits may not match the numerous harms of these aggressive measures, meaning that it's not worth the squeeze. The benefits are inconsequential compared to the damage that it's causing. More targeted public health interventions that more effectively reduce transmissions may be important for future epidemic control without the harms of highly restrictive measures. That is huge. That is absolutely huge. And nobody will talk about it in the mainstream media. How can that be? It's crazy. That this is January 5th, guys. This should be immediately discussed as a peer-reviewed study that based it on the data. But doesn't matter. They're going to keep doing it anyway, like everything else. Here's another example. This is, what was the actual name? I looked at it earlier. I don't know, RCPCH tweets. This says, we're calling for a commission to examine the devastating impacts of the pandemic on children and young people. Unless we act together, COVID will scar a generation. But you see, this is not accurate. I find this one to be manipulative on purpose. The impacts of the lockdown are what are hurting the children. The impacts of everything they're doing to fight the solution is worse than the problem, as we said from the beginning. So are we going to pretend that the pandemic that doesn't hurt the children at all, that have a 0% chance of dying, is hurting them somehow? No, your actions as a government are hurting these children. But let's just pretend that's the pandemic, though. What this group is ultimately calling for the children to be protected, but I argue it's sort of in a backhanded way that will ask for more government control over them and everything. That's how I see this. I could be wrong about the group, but this is how it's being framed. Coalition of Child Experts urge inquiry into UK's COVID crisis. Boris Johnson is facing demands from doctors, senior politicians, and charities for a wide-ranging commission to examine the pandemic's devastating effects on children. Wait a minute, don't they have a 0% chance of dying? How in the world can we pretend the pandemic is doing anything to these children? Like, you can't backwardly argue that we're in a pandemic, so the actions are the fault of the pandemic, but that's what they're doing. Amid growing concerns about its impact on their education. So now COVID-19 is affecting their education? We're talking about the lockdown here. They can't even say that. I mean, look, you could argue the lockdown's hurting them, but that's necessary for the pandemic. That would be an honest argument, even though I think it's wrong. They're talking about the lockdown's effects on children, and they can't even say it. That's how much these people must know that they're out to deceive you. Yeah, because the pandemic is affecting their education. A major coalition of children health experts warns that many families are being swept into poverty by the pandemic. Right, because the virus is devolving their money. The virus is destroying their job. No, that's the lockdown in government action, based on things that are inaccurate and shown to be false. 100% so. 0.05% under 70. We're not at risk here, guys. You are not at risk from this in regard to anything less. This is less than the flu, in my opinion, but especially when you include the combination of flu and pneumonia, and as well as the fact that PCR tests are showing you a massively overhyped number. And even that is still only 0.05% under 70. That's crazy. But yet we're destroying our entire livelihood because of that. Swept into poverty because of the pandemic. No, your lockdowns destroyed their lives, which is set to significantly add to the 4 million children living in depression. Right, so their children were already suffering. And by the way, in the UK, I think I just, actually, no, that was Ireland. I'll say that for another story. There's a horrible story about children in foster homes in another country. I've been putting it off for some time when it felt relevant. But an independent commission to inform a cross-government strategy to steer children and young people clear from the lingering effects of COVID-19. So how can you steer them clear of a virus's lingering effects? I mean, I could make this point 100 times in this article, but it's insulting to our intelligence. Like, there are people that read this and literally think that the COVID-19 is causing these things. That's why we're in a bad, there is enough people. I don't argue it's not a lot, but there's enough people that actually go along with this, and they point to them as they scream the loudest, but they're the smallest minority, in my opinion. At present, we have piecemeal solutions and stopgap measures. The next generation deserves better. So they want the government to step in and control their lives. Freedom! But as Paul points out, the number having to wait more than 52 weeks to start hospital treatment in England stood at 192,169 in November 2020. In November 2019, it was 1,398. So when assessing the impact of a lockdown, we have a duty to look at the whole picture. That's what's causing all of this. And here, there's some guy, Hodges, I believe, who's debating with, Hitchinson, I think, and it's embarrassing. The guy's making the most childishly naive arguments, and it's in purpose. The point is, it's obvious the lockdowns are stopping people from going to the hospital because they're afraid or because of any number of things. I wouldn't go right now. I wouldn't go for most times, but I wouldn't go right now for sure. That's not because of COVID-19. That's because I don't know what the hell's going on over there. But the point is that this is what's happening to the children, not the COVID-19, but the lockdown destroying people's lives and their health, by the way. But here's what the actual article says, and this is what's interesting. Record 4.5 million on hospital waiting list as impact of COVID hits home. Right. So these people are on a waiting list for the hospital because they're sick with COVID? No. They're on a waiting list because COVID is taking things and they can't get into the hospital, or they won't go to the hospital, or they're closing other sections of the hospital off because of COVID, right? This is not organic. If the hospitals were open like normal, this wouldn't be happening. Now, in some cases, it would be in regard to the emergency room and places like this. But understand that by and large, we're talking about people that are wanting cancer treatments. That has nothing to do with COVID-19, that they're not able to get in because just COVID-19 danger. It says almost 4.5 million people were waiting to start hospital treatments in England at the end of November 2020, the worst month for medical backlog since this began. The president of the Royal College of Surgeons of England has said it shows the calamitous impact of coronavirus. Right, of coronavirus. Like, realistically, if you wanted to try to make an argument that this is because of just of a pandemic, you could make that argument. You could make the argument that because whenever pandemics happen, our hospitals are overrun, and that's what's causing this. But no, they're specifically saying COVID-19 because they don't want to say the lockdown. The NHS England figures also show that the number of people having to wait more than 52 weeks to start their hospital treatment in England stood at 192,168 in November 2020. But again, only 1,398 last year, or 2019. Professor Neil Mortensen, president of the Royal College of Surgeons in England, said today's figures show the calamitous impact of COVID-19 on wait times for operations. Oops. Frame it up here in a dishonest way. Or where was it? Right here? Shoot, I can't find it. Oh, right here. The calamitous impact of coronavirus on waiting times. Dang it, I just highlighted that on accident. But down here, here's what he actually says. Today's figures showing a calamitous impact of COVID-19 on wait times for operations. How are those things connected? You could argue they're closing other parts of the hospital because of COVID-19, but that doesn't seem connected to COVID-19. Especially since we're talking about a hospital, which should be one of the most, you know, secure places in regard to viral transmission in general, right? Because they're clean and because they lock different rooms and different corridors. But no, you can't get an operation for your heart somehow because COVID. Now, that's happening because they can't get it. But understand, there's also a huge exponential number of people that are not doing it because they're afraid or because they're any number of reasons. And that's the lockdown. Right? That is the illusion of danger that's being, you know, I mean, even that you could argue is COVID-19 fear, but that's irrational based on the media and what they're selling. If given full information, these people would not be afraid to go get their treatments. But then it says many of us were complaining about the pain of the lockdown restrictions in November. However, we should remember all those people waiting for an operation who had their physical pain to deal with on top of the pain of the lockdown. This is somebody who, this is a different guy who's correctly framing it with the lockdown and saying that these people had operations and they just have to deal with that on top of the lockdown. A huge hidden waiting list is building up under the lockdown. Yes, it's the lockdown. Exactly. And that is what's killing people. That is what's hurting people. And here's what's happening. Meanwhile, with all of your elected officials who are screaming at you to be safe and do what you're told because you're risking your grandma's life. And Pat and Matt Hancock completely ignores it and goes out and plays soccer in the park. Around all kinds of people with no mask, no distancing. Totally makes sense, doesn't it? This is the guy telling you to do this stuff again and again and again. But make sure that you follow the rules, though, or else. This has gotten pathetic. It's like they don't care that we see how we are not the same as them. Lockdown. They told us to stay home, then went out. Political figures who broke the rules. It's endless. Mr. Cummings was spotted in Durham in March for more than two. People in the UK will know these names more. We all know Neil Ferguson, the guy who put us here with his fake information or wrong information. After doing that a lot of times in his career and doing it again already with the UK strain, but we're going to listen to him and put us in lockdown. And then he went and broke the lockdown. Catherine Calderwood, Scotland's chief medical officer, visiting her second home while she tells you not to leave your house. Robert Jenrick, housing secretary, traveled 150 miles from London to a property he owns where he told everyone he shouldn't be going out. Stephen Kinnock, the MP in South Wales, posted on Twitter after traveling to London for his father's birthday, while we were all told that we can't do that because it risks our family's lives. Neil Farage did the same thing, claimed he was visiting police earlier this month and was warned after breaching lockdown rules. I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot of them, and there's a bunch of lists here. Wayne Rooney, I don't know half of these names, but it's all over, multiple countries, from Corbyn to Cummings. Some of these are redundant, but you'll see Stanley Johnson, Prime Minister's father. Extremely sorry. David Cummings, or Dominic Cummings, we said. Neil Ferguson, we said. Catherine Calderwood, Robert Jenrick, Stephen Kinnock, Kyle Walker. These are all officials, all people in positions that should be doing otherwise if they tell us to. Top leaders who broke their own lockdown rules. Doug Ford. Ontario Premier Doug Ford is seen as a champion of social distancing. He gets caught breaking it. Cummings, we already talked about. Alexander Van der Bullen. Australia was the second European country after Italy to impose lockdown measures. It says that where was his name? Or what his position was again. Doesn't say, but let's see. That's weird. It doesn't say it. That is odd. Anyway, it says that he was with his wife at an Italian restaurant. Stayed past 11. Had to be reminded by police to leave the area. I mean, he took full responsibility. Who cares if you take full response? It doesn't mean anything if you go out and do the very thing that you know full well you're doing wrong and then come back and go, oh, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. That's meaningless. You consciously chose to break it, knowing you could come back and go, my bad. We don't get to do that. We get arrested. Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan governor, saw one of the strictest lockdowns in the U.S., broke her own rules. What was it again? I'm looking through I forget where this was. Going to a waterfront. That's right. That's right. God, it's so ridiculous. These rich elitists going to their fancy waterfront properties while you're being told you can't leave your home. David Clark, New Zealand. Andrew Scheer, caught in the airport. Justin Trudeau, of all people. Patrick Brown. Bill de Blasio. I mean, it's pathetic. Various leaders at John Lewis's funeral. Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable how they give themselves a pass. Here's the one in the United States. Furious, some politicians ignore their own rules. A lack of self-awareness in American politicians is just something else. Denver mayor flies to Mississippi to spend Thanksgiving with his family and urges others to stay at home. Says he was thinking with his heart and not his head. Oh, I guess we don't get to do that, though. The mayor of Austin, Texas, heads to Cabo San Lucas on a private jet after hosting a wedding for 20. God, it's just, it makes me sick. California governor dines at a swanky French restaurant, French Laundry, with lobbyists. None wearing masks a day after San Francisco's mayor was there for a birthday party. Both had recently imposed tough rules on restaurants and spoke sanctimoniously on the TV about how you have to do your part. The governor of Rhode Island is photographed in an indoor wine event and her state faces the nation's second highest virus rate, though it appears she broke no actual rules except going out when other people are told they're not allowed to. I mean, there's so many of them in here. I mean, it's just, I think I went through, I think most of them are redundant, but it goes on and on, guys. There's 1,000 articles about all kinds of different people in different countries. They're all violating the rules that they force you to do. Here's what we get stuck with, right? Here's what this, these elderly people in homes have to deal with. A robot friend that provides company to the lonely elderly. This is one of the saddest videos I think I've ever seen. It makes me sad. With their little quirky dancing music in the background, it's upsetting. But by the way, here's an interesting point. Are these two people not breaking rules right now? Like, again, make no mistake that I'm not arguing that they should be held. I think these rules are ridiculous. They're not even technically just illegal mandates. What we're talking about is they have to be in front of the screen because COVID, because lockdowns. And they show an image of two elderly people without masks right next to each other. I mean, hello. I mean, this is ridiculous. I think they actually are making sure that they give you inconsistent messages so that you're confused and uncertain. How else do you describe this kind of ignorance? But they're so happy because they've got a screen they can look at. Like, this is supposed to be a positive thing because you're forced to lock down in a situation where it's unjustified based on information and data that doesn't back up what they're saying. Well, as I pointed this out in a past show and I didn't have it pulled up, this is Gareth Eich pointing out, this is an article. This says, children apologizing to dying family members for spreading COVID-19. Please don't let this be your family. Please, for your loved ones, stay at home. Stay safe. As he says, there have been quite a few stomach-churning articles in the last 12 months, but this one might just take the award for the worst. Apologizing to your family. But, I mean, look, people are dying after being told they're dying from COVID-19. Based on everything we're using right now, that's wildly undefined. They could be dying from any number of other things and even still being called COVID-19. That's still even allowable. And these people are coming in and going, I'm so sorry I went out with my friends. This is horrifying. And if you think that these things, even if you think this will go away, if you think these things won't have a lasting effect on our society, I mean, for crying out loud, Facebook and Twitter have broken this kind of society, the world. We're literally broke our social constructs. And yet here we're talking about something that is emotionally damaging to the exponential degree. And yeah, that won't have an effect on our society going forward after a year plus, 2 years plus of manipulating us and scaring us and locking us down. And I mean, come on. We have to see where this is going. Here's Home Office saying all unnecessary journeys outside your home should be stopped. We just told you how the lockdowns are doing far more damage, and the studies are finding that, but here's what they're telling you anyway. Police across the country are issuing fines for all offenders, including those just chilling. Like, this isn't a joke. This is what they're selling you. This is what they're saying. Here's an actual video. They want you to see this as if this is a positive thing. This is disgusting.
Came from work, so I've just been chilling, then you're going home.
Yeah, you can't be chilling. Yeah, obviously, the reason we come to talk to you, we're in lockdown. You park down the end of the street, looking a bit suspect. All right.
Just came from work, so I've just been chilling, then you've got to go home. Go
yeah, you can't be chilling. You can leave home to go to work. You finish work, you go straight home. Okay, you can't hang out with your mates.
You're not hanging out, just
mate, you're out. Hanging out with your mates.
Yeah, but I've just been like 5-10 minutes.
Doesn't matter.
That's 5-10 minutes.
We're in lockdown. Much. Another 1,300 people have died today. You need to get yourself straight home. All right. It's not up for you to argue about. Yeah, you can't be chilling.
Okay, so another 1,300 people died based on a test that has a wildly high false positive rate. People that are being combined with flu and pneumonia. But yeah, let's just keep hyping that up as if that justifies telling this person who's not sick He can't see his friend in an open area in his car because we're on lockdown. The very lockdown that is destroying their lives. But as he points out, responses to this tweet are in two categories. And by the way, you're going to see this pretty much everywhere lately. Blue check marks or accounts started in 2020 all support this. Everybody else oppose it. We need to realize that we are the majority. Whether it's, and I'm not talking just the United States, guys. In the world today, the majority of people can see what this is. We can see that what they're trying to take from us and what they're using to take it. Right now, they're using their power of manipulation and how we perceive the majority. They're using their perceived majority online and social media. They're using their perceived majority in the two-party illusion and on media and everything else to push this idea that everybody supports this. And if you don't, you're crazy. But reiterate, if you look at the people underneath any mainstream article discussion, that's why they censor most of the comments and don't even show them anymore. Or if you look at any of these discussions, blue check marks or people that are just accounted started, which are usually bots, all support it. And literally everybody else is saying, no, this is crazy. You're terrible. It's a violation of your rights. And by the way, that's all correct. It's everything about this is wrong. It's a violation of your rights. It is destroying everything. They have no right to tell you, you can't be doing what you're doing if you're not breaking a law. But that's when we get back to the idea of executive orders and dictates. They're making dictates and they're saying you have to follow them because they're dictators. Oh, and by the way, if you're still going to the grocery store, well, you should just stop though, right? Don't go to the store anymore. That's what they're flat out telling you. Still going to the grocery store? With the new virus variant spreading, it's probably time to stop. That is the headline of the Vox article. It says you probably need to get a better mask too. Right, because a better mask is going to change the fact that the same virus is able to get through. No, that is, but just don't even think about it, though. Just get more things on your face. You'll be good. So I guess they're assuming you'll order through Amazon? Yes. I wonder if that's intentional. Don't go to the, what happens to all the stores then and all the people that need to go shop? I mean, they are destroying, they want, I mean, remember who, let me see if I still have that. I can search for it. Let's see. I'm sure this will pop up actually. I just want to show it to you. Yep. There it is. Remember that Bill Gates, all of a sudden, you know, while he's doing all the philanthropy and just, you know, killing himself for you, used the pandemic or whatever it really is to gobble up all of your farmland at pennies on the dollar, because that's what you do when you're helping people steal and rob them out from under them when they're in a situation where they can't defend themselves. America's biggest owner of farmland is now Bill Gates. 242,000 acres of farmland across the U.S. was quietly snatched up during the pandemic. But we're still okay with everything, right? Good times. Everything's going forward and freedom and everyone's doing what's right for health. And I mean, come on, guys. How in the world do we not see what's going on? If there, I mean, right now, we're look at, again, going back to this, you're not supposed to shop now. And what that's going to do is hurt these outlets. They're going to close, and then they're going to be subsidized to some degree. But the point is that they're controlling your food supply. They're controlling the infrastructure. And as Bill Gates is gobbling up all the farmland and everything else, I mean, it's an obvious reality to see. With, I mean, he's also working on the fake meat thing. And I mean, all these things. They're trying desperately to control every, I mean, look, GMO foods was the beginning of it. I just don't know why we can't realize how all this stuff fits together. I bet most of you in the chat can, but some of you listening are probably shaking your head. That's sad. But to the point about the mask, I just want to point this out as well, which I find really ridiculous. On top of that, but you know, this, you know, 30 paragraph article of saying, well, you should just stop shopping because you're in danger. They needed all that to explain that to you. But it says when you, and by the way, that's not true, but it says when you do have to be around other people, which, by the way, will be only sparse moments in your future where you're only alone and talking to people through screens, use a mask, but not just any mask. The other lessons of the new variants is that we need to get better masks. So a variant of a virus changes the size of the virus? I don't think so. So the virus that can still get through your mask is now different, and you need a different mask because it's more contagious, even though the stats show that's not true, or your own scientists say that's not accurate, but who cares? Just get more masks. Just, I mean, this is, I argue, a backhanded way of saying you've been using something that hasn't been working for you this whole time. And even then, the masks that we're talking about probably don't work even so, but because we're dealing with something new and undefined, we don't really know for sure. Like this, it's just ridiculous. But it says the fact that the variants are so infectious, nope. WHO said that's not true. Nerve Tag said that wasn't evidence for it, but who cares? Suggests to me having a better mask is a good idea. A better mask? So why haven't everybody already had these better masks? And we've had 10 months? Anybody? It says, when it comes to avoiding an infection, quote, a surgical mask is better than a cloth mask. Oh, so we're back to this argument. The same old rigmarole that we've already debunked 100,000 times, showing you that none of these things have the effect they're claiming they do. Not even close. All the study links are in the link right now in the article link for this show. Every time they're there, all of them. Read them all for yourself. It's insulting to them to continue to pretend this. But let's go back to the same old thing. A surgical mask is better than a cloth mask. A tight-fitting surgical mask is better than a loose one. And an N95 is better than a surgical mask. No, none of that's true. An N95 mask only works one way. It only works when you breathe in. And their argument still is that the masks only work in regard to protecting your grandma. So how does that make sense? How is an N95 better? Because Vox is just pulling up and grabbing what they thought was still the narrative. That's pathetic. By the way, a surgical mask in regard to a cloth mask are not actually much better. Numerous studies show them that they're basically equivalent for the most part, depending on what kind of cloth you're dealing with. And the idea that these masks in any way stop the transmission of a virus at best is not statistically significant. That's what every single random controlled trial has found. But here we are. Thanks, Fox, for just pushing the mask narrative again based on the idea that the variant somehow changes the dynamic. Most Americans, however, and this is an important part, still rely on cloth masks. Yeah, and I'm surprised they said the next part. Part of the problem is that the CDC continues to recommend cloth masks. What should have been a stopgap measure while the government procured better medical-grade masks for citizens didn't happen. But here, think about what they're saying there. So they're admitting backhandedly right now that they lied to you and told you cloth masks were best, the same way Fauci lied and said not to wear them because they wanted to get them ready for everybody else. So they gave you the one that didn't really work the best way so you could just use your cloth and t-shirts and everything else until we got some. But we never did. And they're still telling you to wear cloth masks 10 months, 11 months later. Yep. Even Vox is admitting that. That they're telling you to wear something that doesn't actually work in the way they say it does. And I've already shown you 1,000 times over the one study that I think is the most important because everyone's wearing these cloth masks. The random controlled trial comparing medical masks and healthcare workers with cloth masks. And what do you think they found? Very clearly, the rates of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm, with the rate of influenza-like illness statistically significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. Compared to medical masks, cloth masks had significantly higher rates of influenza-like illness, which, by the way, COVID-19 is in a category of influenza-like illness. An analysis by mask use showed that these were significantly higher in cloth mask arms. Now, here's an important part. Penetration, we're talking droplets here, not aerosolized particulates. Penetration by cloth mask particles was almost 97%. Meaning it doesn't do anything. And even medical mask, 44%. So half the time, even with a medical mask, it's going right through. Even the droplets. We're not even talking about under 0.3 or 0.1, really, which is where the virus is. We're not talking about that. But the real important part is their conclusion of the random controlled trial, the first random controlled trial of specifically cloth masks for the very purpose of finding out whether they were safe, found that they caution against the use of cloth masks. That moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection, which can cause bacterial pneumonia, which is literally happening, which is what many doctors are pointing out, which Dr. Lyons-Weiler pointed out is absolutely a no-brainer. And if you look at the data that I did the show on, it's a very clear, obvious connection between what they're calling mask mouth, which is bacteria buildup, staphylococcus in your mouth, and how it can go back into your lungs, which is exactly how it happens. It's a no-brainer. So they're causing bacterial pneumonia, which, by the way, is contagious, which has all the same symptoms they're claiming COVID has, and using a PCR test that tells them they have COVID-19. And they're using these masks, which are dangerous for them, and that's what they did the study to find out. And they even said, as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. And they did it anyway. Did it anyway. So when they're here telling you that that's the case and telling you that we only did that because we needed to get a stopgap, they knew they gave you something that was not going to work, that was dangerous, and they're still allowing you to. Now, that seems to suggest that they want you to get sick. That's my my perception. As always, come to your own conclusion, guys. But I mean, it's pretty damn clear that everything they do leads to more illness, more problems, more damage. I don't know about you, but you can either argue, as always, that they're the most incompetent thing possible or that they're breaking the law. As always, they'd rather be seen as incompetent. Oops, my bad. I didn't mean to go to the French Laundry in the Napa Valley when everybody was locked down. My mistake. I'm just incompetent. No, you made a conscious choice to break the rules that we all are told to follow. Pretty pathetic. But we're seeing a huge rise in people resisting. These are only a couple of them. I already showed you the one in Italy, I believe. But here are truck drivers who are driving right now, but you see they basically come to a stop. Now, it says that the truck drivers are blocking the highways in protest against the lockdowns, which I find really kind of humorous, as we had a whole bunch of stuff in the reverse happen where people were protesting blocking the highways and truck drivers got really upset. But it's funny when it flips around and it's something that you care about that it all makes sense. Isn't that funny? By the way, I agree with what they're doing, but it's just funny how, you know, we all love to put things in our own perspective, and when it bothers us, it's not okay. But when it's something we care about, yay, you know, it's just funny how we're all hypocrites deep down. It's just ridiculous. But I agree that we're protesting and this should continue to happen. Here's the Italy one. Consumers escort police out of the restaurant. You can see that they're actually pushing the police out. Right there. So you can see him in the back right there. They're making him leave. And this is in Italy where all those restaurants opened up. Good for them. Good for them. That's what we need to do, is push back. Not in violent ways, but just show them that we will not be cowed. We are in control, right? If we really want to understand the 0.01% and the 99%, that's the majority, guys. They're supposed to be doing what we vote for, not telling us what to do. That's not how this is supposed to work. But we've long since been in that position. But here's another huge one. 100,000 people demonstrate peacefully in the streets of Vienna against the lockdowns. This is all over the world. And I had a thought about this. If yellow vests have shown us anything, it's that the mainstream media can and will outright ignore the very thing they claim to fight for. You. These movements are massive worldwide. Yet mainstream media, silence. Silence. That's because they don't care about what you and the majority or whatever. They don't care about the things they pretend to care about. They do what their masters tell them to do. They are stenographers. They're regurgitators. Period. If they cared about the news, they would report that this was going on. But mainstream media is dead. So today I finish with a little montage I made. It's a very long show today. I guess not as long as the other ones. I swear to you, I set out with not trying to make these long. I just want to include all the stuff that's important to you guys. You know, it matters to me. It really does. But I want to end with this video here, just so you can see it first. There's a link. It's actually this song to a montage of some images and video clips you've seen before. But I reached out to Sivad today. This song hit me today. I heard it. Somebody sent it to me. And it's called Nobody Cares. Now, if I understand this correctly, the way that I take this message is that he's referring to people in power, the politicians, the so-called, you know, leaders of the world. They're supposed to be fighting for us and they don't care about us. And the message is really positive. It's talking about coming together. It's talking about fighting back. It's talking about finding power in yourself. And something about this song feels very healing to me. So I reached out to him. And I said, thank you for doing this, man, fighting for the truth and pushing this out. And he got back immediately. And turns out he's a huge fan of my show. He turns out he's been watching my show since I started. And I'm talking, he saw when I was deleted off YouTube and we talked on email, and I'm hoping to connect with him in the future, maybe for a T-Lab event, have him come out and play. He's very talented. Nonetheless, make sure you check out his channel. Make sure you check out his work. Very talented guy. But the point is, we need more of this, right? We need more people more willing to stand up for what they believe in, to push their message out in ways that may be uncomfortable, that may be pushed back against, but we need to fight for what's right. It's just never been more important. I mean, I've never been in a position in my life where I've been more certain that now is the time to do what we know is right, because that's literally the opposite of what they're doing. So enjoy this music on the way out. Listen to the message. Thank you for being here. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggles we bear. Beg you, listen, my clan. See the struggles we bear. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Hey, I'm on the way, bitch. I'm on the way. What the hell are you doing to this woman?
Are you on the way?
Nobody don't care.
What are you doing? What are these poor women doing?
Turn on my TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? They're afraid of the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? Cause they don't wanna see us living together. They prefer seeing us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, don't wanna see us try. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset, a new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the female campus are waiting. Don't know what I take them indoctrination. No education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite. Yes, it's time to fight. Revolution will be televised. In no time for go away from the guy. Now each now waste no time. Chinese now get left behind.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away! Daddy, don't take her away! Don't take her away! Don't take her away, you bastard!
Stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
It's the message.